Oh, thank you so much, Steve. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. It is Friday, and we're broadcasting live from not high atop the Tribune Tower, but somewhere in the middle of the Tribune Tower.
Seventh floor.
If you're walking past, something's gone horribly wrong. You shouldn't be that tall. Only Steve Bertrand really could look through the window and see us here on the seventh floor.
From street level?
Yeah. Steve Bertrand and the Slender Man are really the only two people that can walk by. They're tall enough to see us at this level.
But never at the same time.
Maybe he is the Slender Man, though.
Maybe.
What?
If you get a chance, there's a documentary about the Slender Man. That's the mythical creature that doesn't exist, that supposedly lives in the forest and frightens children.
And causes girls to murder people.
HBO is...
Well, attack people.
Attack people.
I'm sorry, yes.
HBO has a documentary coming out in mid-January, and I just saw the clips for the documentary, and boy, is it scary.
As scary as Blair Witch? Because that thing really scared the heck out of me.
Wait, just the trailer for it is about a minute and a half, and when it's done, you won't blink. You're just staring straight ahead like, all right, first of all, second, show that now. I want to see that now.
And when does it come out?
In January, like the middle of January or something.
Are you going to be scared until then?
Yes, for so many reasons.
Are you ever going to sleep again? Yeah, I hear you.
No. So welcome to the show. If you want to jump in, all the same rules apply, 312-981-7200.
If I know how to... Oh, yeah, okay. We can figure out the phones.
The configuration up here is a little bit different. When I did the overnight show here, I did it from this studio, and there, I mean... For people who aren't in the business, here's what you need to know about a radio studio. There's just buttons everywhere. And sometimes you press it and it's the right button, and sometimes you press it and it's the wrong button.
It's the same setup. It's just they're different colors.
But that's enough to throw me. Just the mere fact that the colors are different, that's enough to screw me up.
Can you turn on a light switch?
Not right away. I have to walk around it a little bit and go, okay, I get that's the up position. All right, I can do this.
It's a Friday. You didn't say it's the best day ever invented.
It is, as your days go, this would be the best day ever invented. I keep looking for stuff because we've been talking about the election for the past 7 or 8 years, right? This election really lingered and lingered and lingered and lingered. So people keep texting going, there's other stuff to talk about. And then I go to the internet and 90% of the stories are about the election and who's doing what and who's not doing what and what's going to happen next.
Can I tell you, I get home from work now and I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have free time now, don't you?
Yeah, because for the last probably 18 months, certainly a year, I've sat down before dinner, after dinner, and watched some political talk shows.
Right.
I didn't realize it, but every day. And now it's like, well.
I know. The Cubs story was great and that went away. The election was a huge, huge story, right. And that hasn't gone away, but it's changed.
The good news is, since I've been busy keeping up on election stuff prior to now, I have broke my Candy Crush habit.
Oh, well, there's
so
that.
So that's kind of good.
That is a good thing.
But I may have to go back to it.
I may join you. I may subscribe to the Candy
Crush. For 4 years?
Yes.
Can we talk about these protesting
situations?
Because when will this stop? I understand the first night people who are not happy have a right to gather and protest and say, I didn't vote for this guy.
Right.
But it's not going to change anything. It has now gotten violent. And why is this continuing?
Well, I guess, I'm no expert, but my guess is it's continuing because people are still extremely upset about it.
But there's
And I get that. There's nothing, right? Nothing's
going to
change. You just want your voice to be heard. The violence aspect is the troublesome part of it.
Absolutely.
The violence isn't going to solve anything. They're not going to redo the election.
Nope.
I'm just as upset as the protesters are, but I realize that it's happened, so now we have to move forward and figure out what's best. But, yeah, it's the violence aspect that's the most troublesome part of it.
It's unacceptable.
I know. And I was so afraid that it would start to turn to that, and it is starting to turn to that.
And, again, I'm embarrassed because I'll be honest with you, if Hillary won, I anticipated a lot of protesting on the Trump side because when he kept saying this election is rigged.
Right.
And I'm embarrassed for the behavior of people. I am. I didn't vote for him.
Right.
But he's our president-elect.
Right.
And, again, keeping our fingers crossed, it all benefits all of us if this works out for him in the next 4 years.
Do you know what I want for Christmas? A fast-forward button. I just want a button that I could press that just zooms me for 4 years into the future. That's all I want.
Well, what if it's the best this country's ever run?
That'd be fantastic.
You know what?
Let that happen.
Absolutely. It's like, who would say, oh, I just want to see him fail? No, let's make this country, it's right. pretty darn great right now. I don't know if you can make it, let's make America great again. Pretty great right now, but there's always room for improvement everywhere.
Right, right. Did you watch the clips? Yesterday, it was happening during the show, so we didn't get to see it, but there was the meeting. The
yes.
meeting of Donald Trump visiting the White House, meeting Barack Obama. It was the first time, we were all shocked to learn that this is the first time they ever met.
That is
seemed
so
impossible because there have been instances where they're in the same place at the same time. Those correspondent dinners, for instance, they're in the same room. There was just never a moment where somebody goes, hey, I want to introduce you to somebody. Come on over here. You got to meet this guy. That never happened.
I liken that to you being in the same room of Kim Kardashian. I don't
right.
see you going over to
right.
say hello. Me,
huge
I would.
Fan. Hi, Kim. Huge fan.
I would go over to say hi. Not that I'm a huge fan, but I'm a people person.
Right. Right. All right. So this is a scenario that isn't existing, but just tell me this. There are people in the world that you're not a huge fan of. What would it take if you're in the same room or the same building or the same complex as them for you to go, okay, I don't like that guy at all, but I'm here and he's here. I might as well just say a quick hello.
Listen, unless somebody has done something terrible to you, maybe you met someone on a bad day because we all have bad days.
Right.
So there's no one I wouldn't go up to say hello to. I would say hello to
no
pretty much
who.
Everyone. I really would.
Wow.
And did you see, it was on Facebook, some young mom was out hiking in the woods in New York.
Sure.
And she was just trying to clear her head. And as she turned a corner, there's Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
And there's a selfie of them hugging. It was really kind of
not
cute.
A selfie. Bill Clinton took
I'm sorry,
the picture.
Yes, it's not a selfie.
He took the picture. The most telling picture.
I'd like
the last.
To get in the next one.
Closer.
Can I
closer,
put my hand here?
Closer. The most telling picture that I saw all day yesterday was it's during, quote unquote, the meeting.
The meeting.
And it's not Barack Obama and it's not Donald Trump, but they show the staffers. They show the people who have been there in the White House. There's a group of about a dozen, 14 of them all standing together looking on. At the two of them, and the look on their faces is it's an identical look on every single person there, like, okay, you know, every single person has that same look. All right, that's him. Okay.
I'd be looking like, when is the first punch going to fly?
Right.
Like, I'd be more in shock, right. like with wide open eyes.
Let's get ready to rumble.
Yes.
Yeah, nobody said that. Why didn't anyone say that?
Because Michael Buffer wasn't there and no one else is allowed to say it.
I know. All right, let's do this. A quick break and then a lot more show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. You know, people wagered money on the election on Tuesday, and some people made a lot of money, and some people lost a lot of money. Carlos Slim, does that name ring a bell? Carlos Slim?
No, but it's a great radio name. Carlos Slim coming at you. Spinning the dusties.
The thin 45s. We play only the thinnest 45s. Carlos Slim is Mexico's richest man and the fifth wealthiest billionaire in all the world. Carlos Slim lost $5 billion Tuesday
what?
Into Wednesday.
Who has $5 billion to lose?
Carlos Slim. He's slimmer today than he was on Tuesday.
Jeez.
His pocketbook is. Donald Trump. When Donald Trump was elected the president of the United States, he, Carlos Slim, lost roughly $5 billion. He didn't bet against Trump, not officially, but he was affected because the value of the Mexican peso cratered immediately after the election, resulting in an evaporation of roughly 9% of Carlos Slim's fortune. So just by virtue of the election and the devaluation of the Mexican dollar, he lost all that money, $5 billion. That's a bad day. That would be the definition
of
a bad day. You just lose. Well, it's all on paper. It's all in the bank. He doesn't have a room with riches like Lord of the Rings, I don't think.
I don't really understand gambling at all.
Well, this wasn't gambling. This wasn't even gambling. This was just his fortune is in the Mexican
okay.
dollar. So that got devalued by the election. Many other people, however, did lose money on the election in the more traditional way. That would be gambling. It is illegal to bet on U.S. elections on American turf, although you can do it online so easily. So easily.
Honestly, where there'd be a payout?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Most of the gambling sites online are overseas, or some of them are anchored on ships that just, You know how they have this thing where you go to a casino and they have it on a riverboat because it's illegal to be land-based, so they put it on 3 inches of water?
See, that is such a way around things.
Isn't that crazy? So leading up to November 8th, and all the polls predicting, or virtually all the polls predicting a Hillary Clinton victory, UK bookmakers were swamped with bets. The U.S. election attracted more bets than any other political gamble in the history of the United Kingdom, with what bookies estimate is near $247 million worth of wagers. So for anybody who wagered money on Donald Trump, which seemed to be the most unlikely of all bets, I told you this, I watch this all the time, and the Las Vegas bookmakers...
You told me they're never wrong.
...are never wrong about the...
They were wrong.
They've never once been wrong about picking who the winner would be. On Tuesday, they were wrong for the first time. So, seriously, if you wagered a serious amount of money, if I was Carlos Slim, instead of keeping my money in the Mexican dollar, I head to a UK casino and I go, put it on him, see what happens.
How come Hillary's not saying this was rigged?
She has not said that.
No, she completely,
she has not
that's
said
it.
That at all.
You know, I will help in any way I can. Donald Trump won. Congratulations.
Right. Right.
I would be whining if I was her. I would be like, wait a minute.
Hold the phone.
He said it was going to be rigged and he wouldn't concede unless he won.
Right.
Well, that gets me thinking.
Right.
How did he know it would be rigged and was it rigged? I'm Hillary Clinton and I approve this message.
Right. All right. A quick break and then Carlos Slim joins us. He's very despondent. He's out a lot of money. No, you know who's coming on? Karen Knotts, who is the daughter of the great Don Knotts, one of the most iconic actors in TV history, and the incredible Mr. Limpet.
And Mr. Furley, come on.
And Mr. Furley, and Mr. Chicken.
Oh, yeah.
From the Ghost of Mr. Chicken. So she'll join us to tell stories about what it was like to have Don Knotts as her dad.
Can you even imagine
that?
I mean, my dad was pretty funny. Your dad's pretty funny.
Yeah.
No, Don Knotts.
Don Knotts. All right, so we'll do some news. Steve has the news for you, and then we'll meet Karen Knotts, the daughter of Don Knotts. She's in town doing a one-woman show. Stay where you are. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
I'm kind of excited, I got to admit.
How could you not be excited? Don Knotts is, without a doubt, one of the most memorable and beloved TV personalities in history. His daughter, Karen Knotts, is here. She's a comedian, an actress, and appearing at the Comedy Shrine out in the western suburbs in Aurora. You got a show tonight at 8 o'clock and a show tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Karen, thanks for being here.
I'm delighted to be here.
Great to be here. I know a day doesn't go by, probably, that somebody or groups of people don't come up to you and say, we love your dad.
All the time. And it's great because, you know, his show, The Andy Griffith Show, is on the air literally every state in this country.
And every minute.
Yeah.
So people are still watching.
Here in Chicago, Channel 9, for years and years and years and years, had a block at 6 o'clock, and it was the Andy Griffith Show, and then it was Dick Van Dyke at 6:30, and that was the most solid hour of TV. I don't care whatever they put on any other channel.
Right.
You
and
had to see that.
We had the same thing in California, starting at 8 o'clock. Well, probably 7. But all those great sitcoms were back-to-back, and it was nothing like it.
Yep. It was great viewing. Yep. It really was. So having Don Knotts as your father, no wonder you're doing comedy right now. I mean, really.
Yes. I learned from the master. You can't get any better than that.
What do you think it was about him? What made him so special? I can't think of anyone else that was quite like your dad was.
Exactly. Well, he was so genuine.
Yeah.
His character, while it was broad comedy, at the heart of it was so real and so relatable.
Yeah.
And just so endearing. You know, the qualities that people can all understand, that wanting to be great, that wanting to be recognized, that desire to be successful. And really, he wasn't as successful as the character was not successful in those terms, but then the community around him of people that cared about him and loved him and made him feel good about himself, that's universal.
Yeah, yeah. He's best known as Barney Fife on The Andy Griffith Show. So how was he like Barney Fife, and how was he different from Barney Fife?
That is a great question, because most people assume that he was Barney Fife. They just naturally think so.
Yeah.
But he could be, at times, very excitable and very dramatic.
That's an understatement.
No, I mean, in real life, he could
yes.
be, you know.
But thinking of, you know, excitable as Barney just
yeah.
makes me laugh. Sorry.
I know. He would get that high-pitched tone to his voice, you know. And other times, he was extremely practical and wise and
yeah.
sophisticated.
Yeah.
And he also, and in real life, had a certain deadpan delivery that was the opposite of Barney Fife. I mean, he could just deliver these lines that would just kill you, you know. And he was so witty.
But when he's being, because he's a dad, he's your dad, so mm-hmm. he's got to go into dad mode and be very serious at times, but I don't know how.
Well, he was never really a traditional father. He always treated me like we were best friends.
Oh.
And he would talk to me about his life, even his love life things, when he was going through different relationships. And, he was married 3 times.
Yeah.
And then he, you know, so it was like, wow, I just feel like I've got this worldly man, this very successful man, as a friend. And it was amazing.
Yeah.
And yet you still listen to him, because a lot of people complain, you know, you can't be your kid's friend. You have to be a parent. But there is a little combination of both.
Well, he would be very, you know, firm about things.
Yeah.
He knew his bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother, too. My brother was also very close to him. And we knew that his bottom line was there. But it was just, there were just a lot of sides to him.
Did he want the two of you in show business, or did he want you to stay
Definitely
away?
Definitely not.
He did not
want me in show business. When I first told him, you know, he was very upset about it. But he overcame that. In fact, he even gave me a little spot on his variety show, which I do show in Tied Up in Knots in my show.
Mm-hmm.
He actually gave me this debut, which was amazing. I was only 16.
Wow. That's pretty cool. So, that's a nice, sweet 16 gift.
Yeah, how about that?
He and Andy Griffith had worked together prior to the Andy Griffith Show. They were in No Time for Sergeants together, right?
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden they strike up a friendship, and then it pays off as big can be later on.
Right. They struck up a friendship like no other that I've ever heard of. I mean, they were both from the South,
yeah.
and they had a common love of these characters, of people they knew, and the people that are intrinsically Southern and small town and just small town life. They loved all of that. And they would tell each other stories, and it would just get them going creatively. And they could spend hours together, and they did. And a lot of the routines that they came up with on their own in the Griffith Show,
yeah.
which they, you know, the producer might take them aside and say, "Hey, listen, guys, we got a little hole here. We got a little time we need to fill. Can you just come up with something?" And they'd go off in a corner and talk, and they would create these
magic
things. Amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know, watching them, I mean, you saw pairs and duos working together, and you were entertained, but there was something different. There was something special between Barney and Andy.
Very special.
You really could notice that.
Very special. They had the classic, they were, you know, straight man and funny man,
mm-hmm.
they were, but so much more than that. They were friends. They had relationship. They had a common interests and caring, and almost like Andy was the dad,
yeah.
in a way.
Yeah.
You know? But there was just so much between them and so much real humor. And they both love music, too.
Oh, they'd
yeah.
play. They'd play. Sometimes
yeah.
the Darlin' Boys would come down and they'd play
yeah.
right there on the front porch. Karen Knotts is here. She has a show, Tied Up in Knots, that's going to be playing at the Comedy Shrine in Aurora. You got a chance to see it tonight at 8 o'clock, or tomorrow at 8 o'clock. We will be giving away a couple of pairs of tickets, so stay tuned for that. Karen, if you watched the run of the show, and I know you did, you noticed that the character, Andy's character, Andy Taylor, changed quite a bit after about the second season. He went from being kind of a country bumpkin to a more serious role model type dad and sheriff. Your dad's character remained the same, and the story I always heard was, they together realized that Andy needed to change his character to conform more with what Don was bringing to the role. Is that true? Do you know if that's true?
Well, you know, I haven't really thought about that part of it, but I do know, I mean, in the beginning, Andy was supposed to be the funny one.
Yeah.
Because he had just come off that run of, you know, No Time for Sergeants, where he was hilarious. He was absolutely drop-dead funny in that role. So he was fully expecting to play the funny one. So my dad caught the show, the pilot, on television. He was watching with his friend Pat Harrington Jr. They'd both been on the Steve Allen show together. Now they were out of work. They were out of work actors. He saw the show. He called Andy the next day and said, "Say, Ange, couldn't Sheriff Taylor use a deputy?" And that was how he got started. He went in and pitched this character. So, I mean, as soon as he came on the show, everybody, including Andy, of course, knew, okay, this whole situation is going to change. This is the funny one. Barney is way funnier than Andy.
Yeah.
So they, and Andy was gracious enough. You know, a lot of stars today would sooner end the show than have to be second fiddle to when they're the star. But Andy was gracious and wise enough to realize that they were going to, he was going to now be straight man to Barney Fife. And he just embraced that. And so I think it probably, to your point, probably took a little while for him to evolve into that character.
Sure.
As you know, for him to change into that role.
You mentioned Pat Harrington. Who was hanging out at your house on any given day? Did your dad have card parties? Were people hanging around celebrity-wise?
Well, it's funny you mentioned card parties. When you say that, I think of Phyllis Diller.
Oh, my God, I loved her.
She was a great poker player, and I remember her being at the house.
Oh.
We had a lot of comedy writers, mostly.
Yeah.
And those were the people that were the most exciting to be around to me. But, of course, as a kid, when you walk into a room of comedy writers, expect to be the butt of the joke. You just are.
They're always writing.
No way.
What an education for you, though. I can't think of a better school to go to than your own home there.
Yeah,
right?
That's right. And for an eight-year-old kid, being around comedy writers is pretty amazing.
Your dad at some point realizes he wants to branch out a little bit. He leaves the show. He leaves the Andy Griffith Show. But then he comes back and wins an Emmy as a guest star.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
That's pretty amazing. Well, you know, people wondered, why did your dad leave the show? But Andy always said he was only going to do the show for five seasons.
Yeah.
He was always dead about that. I mean, he never changed. So Dad started looking for work, and he got this great contract deal from Universal for five pictures where he would be the sole star, have control. I mean, that's what everybody dreams of, you know.
Right.
And Andy was totally supportive. Of course, he was devastated personally, but he always was this great mentor person to my dad, and he just embraced it. And so, you know, of course, Dad said, okay, I'll come back and do, you know, I'll do the character again, and so I won't be totally gone.
Right. That friendship lasted right up to the end. Andy was there when your dad passed away.
That's
he was at the bedside, right?
Isn't that a beautiful end, really, when you think about it?
Yes, it was. It was. I talk about that in my show, about it was a beautiful farewell to my father for all of us to be there with him. And it was something very special.
I'm sure. We're talking to Karen Knotts. Again, that one-woman show is playing at the Comedy Shrine in Aurora. You have a chance to see it tonight at 8 o'clock or tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. And before this is over, we'll be giving away some tickets. So stick around. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN. It is Bill and Wendy on WGN along with Karen Knotts. Karen is the daughter of the great Don Knotts. She has a show called Tied Up in Knotts that is playing tonight and tomorrow night. 8 o'clock starts at the Comedy Shrine in Aurora. We'll be giving away a couple of pairs of tickets to each night. So stay here. I'll tell you when to call and what number to be. Karen, in addition to the Andy Griffith Show, we should also mention his work as Mr. Furley. For how many seasons on Three's Company?
Oh, gee, I'm not really sure.
Quite a while.
It was quite a while. But, you know, he stepped in for when they lost Mr. Roper, the original landlord, played by Norman Fell.
Mm-hmm.
And the producers, they were just going crazy. They had a lot of ups and downs, and they were like, how are we going to replace Norman Fell? And finally he said, why don't we get a Don Knotts type? And the casting director said, what, are you crazy? Why don't you just get Don Knotts?
Yeah.
And he said, Don Knotts, is he still alive?
Oh, no.
And Bernie said, yes, and he's younger than you.
And didn't that open a whole new category of fans for him?
Absolutely. I mean,
loved him.
Sudden,
loved his polyester.
Yes. It was a total takeoff on the 70s styles.
You know what you had there is you had one of the guys with the greatest timing in the history of television, your dad, and then John Ritter, who I think carried on that tradition
Absolutely.
Of knowing exactly to the millisecond how to play a laugh.
Absolutely.
That's a good combination.
They were very good friends. They had a wonderful time. They were great. And it was interesting, too, on the show because my dad had, on the Andy Griffith Show, it was shot like a movie. With all these different camera angles and no audience. This show was live audience, and they had no teleprompter.
Mm.
No teleprompter. So my dad was a little freaked out in the beginning. And so he kiddingly said, you know, you, to the producer, you know I'm going to use the teleprompter, right? It was a practical
panic?
Joke.
Was that panic time? It must have been.
But he didn't. They never did use it. And so it was a big deal for him. But then once he got used to it, he loved it, you know. And Joyce DeWitt said, when I interviewed her for a book that I'm writing, and she said that the biggest thing that they loved was when Mr. Furley would come out during the live show, because they didn't know what wardrobe he was going to wear. And so they would have to keep from laughing
sure.
during his entrance.
A lot of scarves.
A lot of scarves. Bell bottoms
yep.
and all that.
Yep.
It was awesome. All right. So you mentioned you were your first break at show business, 16 years old on your father's variety show. Mm-hmm. So when did you start doing comedy now? How long have you been doing this, your one-woman show?
Well, I started doing the show when my father passed away. I had been writing it, and he helped me a little bit here and there, but never really took it that seriously until he was gone. And then I was like, oh, my gosh, I've got to get these stories out there
oh, yeah.
and start really doing this because I want to keep this alive because so many people, he means so much to so many people.
Yeah.
And all my life I've been asked questions about him.
Yeah.
And I thought, perfect premise for a show. What was he like? What was it like? So that was when I really started doing the show.
It can't miss. A story like that cannot miss. When they did Return to Mayberry, mm-hmm. the TV movie, the follow-up, you right. were a guest star on that.
I had a part on the show. And thanks to Dad and Andy, they actually kind of created this little part for me of Rudine, the secretary to Opie, who's now grown up and editor of a newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very nervous because I had a scene with Andy Griffith. I was terribly nervous because he was always very kind to me when I was a child. It was like having an uncle. But now suddenly here I am having to work with this world-class actor, which
yeah.
just had this little part.
Yeah.
And he could see how nervous I was. And so he came up with the idea for me to be eating a cookie during the scene. He said that would force me to concentrate on chewing and would take my mind off of being nervous, which it did.
Sure.
I'd be scared I would choke on it. It's like when you get nervous, your throat closes up a little bit.
Did that little boy run, Howard? Did he go on to do anything after?
There's a cute story about that. When I was a little girl, I wanted to be on the Andy Griffith Show.
Sure.
I wanted to be an actor on the show, you know. And my dad said, absolutely not, no way. You know, it's a lonely life for a child.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Poor lonely Ron Howard.
Oh, he did all right. He did all right. What about your dad's movies? I guess the ones that come to mind, Wendy and I were talking about The Ghost of Mr. Chicken and The Incredible Mr. Limpet, which still,
oh
if it's
God,
on TV,
amazing.
It's impossible to turn the channel. You go, I love this movie. Was he proud of his film work? I hope he was.
Oh, very much so, of course. And I remember being on the set of The Incredible Mr. Limpet. Carol Cook played his wife, the flaming red hair.
Yeah.
And when she... If you remember, those of you who saw that, when she put the glasses on the fish,
yeah.
right, because he had lost his glasses, she leans over in this very touching scene. Well, what they did was they raised up this box on a crane full of just junk,
yeah.
a box of junk, up to her eye level, and she put the glasses on the box of junk and played this tearful scene, and I thought, that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
She could create that reality from that.
Yeah, it's amazing.
That is amazing to hear that and then go yeah. back and see it. I got to rewatch it.
I'm so glad, first of all, to meet you, and second of all, that your childhood was so happy with your dad, because mm-hmm. we grew up watching him and loving him, and you want so badly for whatever goes on behind the scenes to be magical, and I'm glad yeah. that it was.
He was a beautiful person, a wonderful father.
Yeah.
Of course, nobody's perfect,
right.
but he was a great, great person.
Good.
And I appreciate even more now that I'm an adult, because you meet people and they go, they tell you about their growing up or their parents, and you go, oh my gosh, I had a great mother and a great father
yeah.
and this wonderful upbringing. And they tell me, you know, that watching the Andy Griffith Show gave them the morals and the background that their parents didn't give them.
Definitely.
And I'm like, wow, I'm glad it's still on the air.
It is a great show. Tied Up in Knots, thank you so much for keeping your father alive in this show.
Thank you. I'm glad you appreciate it, and I'm love to do it.
We have a couple of pairs of tickets to give away. Now, there are two shows. There's one tonight at 8 o'clock, and there's one tomorrow at 8 o'clock. So right now, 312-981-7200, if you're caller 10, 11, 12, or 13, you will win a pair of tickets to either tonight's show or tomorrow's show. Work it out with Kevin. We want you to come and see Karen Knott's show, Tied Up in Knots, at the Comedy Shrine in Aurora. 8 o'clock starts tonight and tomorrow. Karen, again, thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Honor to meet you.
We'll take a quick break and then some news and then more show. Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder here on WGN. Oh, Steve, thanks so much. What, do you remember Kurt Wagner?
Yeah, but it's been a while.
It's been a long time since we talked to Kurt Wagner of TVShowPatrol.com. He went on a little trip, and then last week we were away, and now he's finally here. Kurt Wagner is back in studio again from TVShowPatrol.com. Hi, Kurt. We missed you.
Oh, hang on.
Is it on? Is this?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you're good.
Hi.
Hi.
It's been a while.
Where have you been, the Swiss
Alps? I haven't seen
Alps?
your smiley faces in forever.
That's why you should get tattoos of Wendy and me.
Maybe
somewhere
I will.
On your body. That'd
Maybe
be fun.
One on each
Kevin
bicep.
Kevin knows a lot of good tattoo folks.
Yes, he does. He could help
that,
you out.
No.
He does not. He does not.
Yeah, so how about them Cubbies?
How about those
Let's cover
cubbies?
Everything that I
yeah,
missed.
Yeah, we can.
That we haven't talked about.
Well, there were, yeah, the Cubs won the World Series, and that was incredibly exciting. And then as a result of that, the Cubs players kept showing up on almost every show that they could possibly show up on, and
yes,
that's fun.
And it's still going on.
Yeah.
Where are they now?
I don't know.
Okay, because they did SNL, they did the Disney Parade.
Right.
They did Fallon, Kimmel, who else?
Kelly Ripa.
Oh, really?
Ripa,
who was
yeah.
on that?
Schwarber.
Schwarber.
Kyle Schwarber was
yeah,
on
she,
there.
She was all over his dimple.
We thought you were having a seizure.
She was all over his dimple.
We got scared for you.
Yeah. So and they've been on most of the other late
She's
night
a flirt.
Too.
Right. All right, so we had the Cubs situation, and then we had the election situation, and I'm hearing now...
A lot of highs and lows,
but cable news networks are saying this is the highest ratings they've ever had in terms of elections. They're very pleased. They want to have more elections.
And just yesterday, Donald Trump won Arizona, which was nice to get that alert.
Yep.
Why are we still getting... I mean, I know
well,
there's still two that
aren't
called.
Well, didn't they just announce Pennsylvania the other day, too?
Yeah.
Like, was that yesterday, too? They had finally finished the entire thing. I mean, it was obvious he was going to win.
I guess in some states, the votes are counted electronically, but in other states, a guy named Dale just counts them.
And what a hassle that is, because what if you lose count?
Right,
you, know,
you got to start over.
I needed a part-time job. I wish they would have called me.
No, that's too bad.
I know how to count.
I know
one,
you do.
Two.
Right. Oh, you don't have to prove to us. We know how good you are. Now, also as a result of the election, there was supposed to be an episode of SVU with a character that Gary Cole plays that's very similar to Donald Trump, but we did not see that episode. What happened there?
Well, it's really weird because it was supposed to air
during the World Series originally.
Well, it was originally supposed to air, I think, the second episode of the season, and they didn't do it for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Then it was supposed to air the World Series, and then all the networks decided nobody's going to watch anything else but Game 7 of the
right.
World Series.
Right.
So everybody preempted their programming and put repeats on. And then it was supposed to air again later this, like in December, but now they're kicking it to sometime.
To next year.
Yeah. And the thing with the episode is Gary Cole, Chicagoan,
yeah,
former Chicagoan, plays a Trump-like candidate who gets embroiled and gets accused of sexual assaults
oh,
and
no.
things like that because it is SVU.
Right. So their fear is what? Why won't they air this
well,
episode?
Well, they're not saying they won't air it for...
It seems crazy that they're not airing it because of that.
Yeah, they're not going to say it's because of anything to do with the election or with Trump or anything, but...
But it's one of those shows that says...
It's interesting that NBC was where The Apprentice aired.
Yeah. And we'll air again with Arnold
Without
Schwarzenegger.
Him, yeah.
All right, so this is one of the shows that says that their storylines are ripped from the day's headlines. And in this case, yes, it is.
It is.
And they're backing away for some reason until January or February.
Right.
Yeah. So
and
then
he'll
show
be
it.
Fully in office by then.
All right. What is the fallout? We have not talked to you since the season premiere of The Walking Dead, which many people said was the most violent episode of TV ever. Again, we have to be careful on spoiler alerts, but is there still any residual fallout?
It is the most violent show I have ever seen. And this, not even talking zombies.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right, it's humans.
Well, now it's really up the human thing.
Oh,
and I think
God.
A lot of the critical complaints about it are that there isn't enough character. Like, the violence is there for the violence's sake.
Yeah.
You know, there's not enough character development through
to warrant it
through the what happens.
Yeah,
it's pretty bad. I mean, my husband had to walk out of the room during a brutal scene.
It's hard to take.
Well, but you know, after the premiere, there were a lot of complaints. A lot of people saying I won't do it anymore, and it kind of surprised me because for however many months we were promised this head bashing episode.
Yeah.
You know, so I guess, it's like that shouldn't be a surprise to you, but. Since the premiere really was the second highest rated episode of Walking Dead.
Oh, was it? Yeah.
Ever. But since then, their ratings have dropped.
Well, this,
about 20%.
Really?
Yeah, I think.
Second episode, not very exciting. I'm caught up now. I think the episode 3, it's again kind of violent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't need to see it.
But to answer the question of people who say the violence on that show, on The Walking Dead, doesn't further the character, the violence that we all saw in that first episode made it very clear that this new character, Negan, is a ruthless guy who will stop at nothing to do or get what he wants. Yeah. So,
I mean, a lot of people are just saying it's like sort of a cynical, you know, it doesn't have the depth that it used to have.
Yeah.
It might come again, though. I mean,
sure.
Yeah,
they're doing a palate cleansing, sort of, with characters.
Right, I know.
Right. So it has, you know, it has dropped off. I mean, it usually drops off after each season. It's dropped off from the season premiere about 12%.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But apparently, this season it's double that, and it stayed. It went even lower after the third episode. I mean, the third episode fewer people watched than even the second episode.
Does that surprise you a little bit? Not really.
I don't know. It's interesting. I'll be interested to see what happens going forward after the election, because honestly, I've seen people compare this election to sort of an apocalypse to see if people decide, you know.
Yeah. Yep. On a lighter note, a slightly lighter note, yay, Christmas programming has started.
Yeah. It's always funny, isn't it fun?
It is fun.
When Christmas starts in October.
It's not October
now, but I think they've already actually had a few things.
It's okay.
But Hallmark and Hallmark movies and what is it called? M&M is what I call it, but it means like movies and magic or mysteries and movies. There you go.
All right.
And Lifetime always do.
Only for women.
It's like they're competing to do the corniest Christmas movies, right? And they've started. Like this Saturday and Sunday, you can find some Christmas movies on, usually 7 o'clock Saturday or Sunday night on those channels. And then, you know, everybody else is starting to throw in their stuff. A lot of the fall finales for the network shows have already happened or are soon to happen. And then the rest of the year is holiday programming or specials or this and that.
How many of those movies will be John Stamos looking for love in all the craziest places?
Well, you know, they do have a sort of a set of types of stories, of storylines, you know. It's usually a busy, busy, busy executive who doesn't have time for their family or themselves or anything.
Until something
goes happens.
Goes
on a trip.
Yeah.
Goes on a business trip. Yeah. And sometimes they have to close a thing and make the town sad, or sometimes they just have to go and,
God,
you know,
this is so hokey.
Do something else. But they always find the meaning of Christmas.
Of course.
And love.
Yes. And sometimes Reba McEntire helps them, doesn't
sometimes
she?
Sometimes Reba McEntire
Oh,
helps
my God,
them.
You are so right.
Sometimes
I'm just going to stick to Elf. That's what I'm going
to
watch.
That's the way to be.
Honestly, it might be my favorite Christmas movie.
It's great. Kurt Wagner's here from TVShowPatrol.com. We're talking television. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. We'll get that job done. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
All right, Bill.
It's Bill and Wendy. Kurt Wagner's here from TVShowPatrol.com. We haven't had him in for a few weeks, so a lot has happened in the world of television.
Did you like my Nebraska picture with the corn?
Yes, and if you go to our Facebook page or WGNradio.com, it's Kurt Wagner buried in ears of corn.
Yep.
I couldn't tell which was your ear and which was an ear of corn.
Okay.
And is it supposed to be scratch and sniff? Because mine was.
Really?
Oh,
yeah,
you're lucky.
I don't know how you did it, Kurt. That's amazing.
That is pretty amazing.
All right. By now, all the shows that premiered in the fall kind of either have a following or people have said, oh, this is a show that I don't want to watch. So what are some of the big winners and losers out of the fall new shows?
Well, shocking to me, not so shocking, but I just don't get it. CBS, that show Bull with Michael Weatherly.
Bull?
Bull.
Oh, okay.
And Kevin Can Wait with Kevin James, mm-hmm. are big hits.
Mm-hmm.
even though
I
they
have meant to watch that, and I
don't.
Kind of forgot.
Even though
they're
not very good.
But he's playing almost the same guy he played in his original
Doug
show.
Heffernan.
King of, yeah, he's kind of doing King of Queens to some extent.
Well, that was a good show.
Yeah.
I know. I'm sad
Kurt says
ended.
No. Kurt will get mad if you watch it.
And MacGyver on Fridays is doing well for a Friday night show.
Who's the new MacGyver?
Lucas Till is his name.
And, not in my heart.
And yeah,
that's
I'm with
Dean
you,
Anderson.
Bill.
That's
the only MacGyver in here,
either,
Kurt.
Actually.
Is he now? Does this MacGyver play MacGyver's son, MacGyver,
no.
Or is he a totally
He's
new
just
MacGyver?
Totally different. Same name, Angus MacGyver, but
yeah.
Totally different setup and everything.
There can't be
But he
MacGyver.
Still knows how to do things.
He can build a boat out of Q-tips or something.
Yeah.
That's cool.
All that stuff. And then Designated Survivor, which we've talked about before with Kiefer Sutherland.
I like that.
Is doing well still.
Now, people have said, because of what's going on, the turmoil in the election, that that's helping this show, that people are so turned on to politics, they're watching
Well, you
the
know,
show.
They blew up all of... They blew up all of...
Senate.
Washington,
and, yep.
Pretty much. And, you know... Sort of happened in this election too.
Yeah,
you know.
All right, I could see. That's the one I predicted when I saw all the previews of what was coming. I said, I have a feeling that's going to be one of the big winners.
I thought that opening episode was probably one of the best pilots.
Yeah.
Also on ABC, Speechless.
I was just going to say, can I tell you about my teenage boys turned me on to this show, Speechless. I absolutely love it. A background of it, a little bit.
I'm not now. I'm going to blank on her
Minnie
name.
Minnie Driver.
Minnie
yes.
Driver. Plays a mom who has a special needs kid, and
who the actor really does.
Yes, and she has other kids and her husband, but she really focuses a lot of her time on him, and then so it's sort of that drama and comedy that comes out of that, and his situations.
But they're trying to treat him like your
right.
average kid, which I imagine would be difficult with someone being in a wheelchair.
Of course.
Right, and then
really
you know,
good.
And she, you know, she plays the most protective mom, you know, who is always ready to fight for him.
Yep.
All right, here's a question. When Michael J. Fox tried to have a sitcom about somebody with a disability, it was funny, but it didn't go well. It just didn't. And Michael
and
J.
Surprised.
Fox is great. Right. So why this time? Why is this one working? When
I think it's just
it?
The formula. You know, this is more. His was kind of a workplace comedy, and this is a family
yeah.
comedy. You know, with a lot of heart to it. You know, and I think those do a lot better.
And she's a big proponent, Minnie Driver. I heard her on with Amy Guth one day here on this station. A firm believer in this, in
right.
equality and equal rights for everybody, disabled and not, and good. I'm glad
right.
this is a hit.
So that's doing well. American Housewife, which just started, I think it's maybe two episodes in, that's doing pretty well. This Is Us on NBC, which was no surprise.
Yeah.
Timeless and The Good Place are both doing fairly well.
I like Timeless a lot.
I still haven't watched that, darn it.
It's fun.
And
time travel.
The show that I'm most surprised about, because I didn't think it would end up being very good, but I actually like it, Lethal Weapon on Fox.
Is that good?
Yeah. And it's doing well for Fox, too.
And who's in it again?
Damon Wayans.
Damon Wayans and this guy named Clayne Crawford.
And you like it?
Yeah. I look forward to it.
Just
every
like the, is it exactly the same? I mean, I know it's different actors, but is it the same?
Well, you know, they're sort
of the movie?
It's the same idea. You know, the one guy's close to retirement, and wants to just get through without getting killed. And the other guy sort of has a death wish a little bit, you know, because he lost his wife. And so he's just sort of despondent. But they found all these cool nuances and different things about themselves and, you know, extended characters and stuff. So
those shows, the ones you mentioned, are all doing well. Have they all been renewed or have they been given a full season yet?
Lethal Weapon, I think, is... Well, there's probably more, but Lethal Weapon is the one that I know for sure has gotten a full season.
Okay, good.
And Supergirl also moved from CBS to CW, and it's doing really well on the CW, which, you know, the CW doesn't get as many ratings, but still, it's doing pretty well, and it gets talked about a lot, too. So,
any chance of X-Files coming back? Is there any news on that?
No, not yet.
Darn it.
Not yet. Losers, Conviction on ABC.
What's
they
that?
Just trimmed
I don't know what
the
that is.
Episode order for that, so it'll probably end after 13 episodes.
Who's in Conviction?
Haley Atwell. She was in Marvel's Agent Carter.
Yeah,
she plays the daughter of a former senator who's running for president, I think, her dad was the former president, and she's kind of a bad girl, you know, always getting in trouble and stuff. But the New York Attorney General's decided to make her this in charge of this conviction.
Oh no, do they know she's
thing.
A bad girl?
Yeah, they do.
They should have done that.
The public does. Everybody does.
Right.
But
it's not
caught on. And ABC's Notorious also has not caught on. They've trimmed that order. But ABC hasn't said they're fired. They're
canceled.
But
right.
You're fired.
Usually when your order's trimmed, it doesn't look good.
When these shows are failing, I'm sure this is obvious, but why don't they add a kid and a monkey?
Sometimes it's too late.
A cute kid and a monkey,
sometimes,
and then people would watch
late.
It.
I am buying you a monkey for your birthday later this
I would
month.
Love
That's
to
all
have
you
a,
talk about
I
is a monkey.
I would like to have a monkey.
All right.
And I would put him in a small version of the alpine hat that you're wearing.
So right it should be brighter.
Yeah, right, like a key lime color.
Yeah,
all right, I'll do that.
Yeah.
And maybe a red velvet vest.
That's a given.
All right.
We don't have to debate that. That's a given. All right.
I'm getting Bill a monkey.
Don't tease me. I want the monkey.
Foxes, The Exorcist, and Pitch are not doing
that. Oh, no.
Bill loves it, and we just had...
Alan on.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Alan Ruck. He plays the dad on The Exorcist. I love that show, and that's not doing well. Why?
Well,
why?
It's a Friday night show, and I guess people don't want to be scared on Friday night.
Watches... I mean, maybe it's just me, but who honestly watches a show when it's on? Don't you DVR it?
Yeah, but they still look at... You know, they still
the live viewing.
Live viewing. I mean, it's part of it, but
because Friday night is tough. Ever since Hunter went away,
right?
You know, I just
nothing
saw,
to watch.
Right.
I just saw a thing. The Fox president just had some Q&A thing he did where he said that having to run commercials is killing network television.
Yeah.
And this is the Fox president, not President Fox from Mexico, not Vicente
no,
Fox.
No.
Okay.
No.
That'd be weird if he said that.
I bet he agrees.
I'm sure he does. All right, so we know who's winning and we know who's losing. And is there a highlight of something on TV coming this week that we should know about, Kurt?
Red Oaks Season 2 starts today on Amazon.
Yeah.
There's this thing on Nat Geo on Monday called Mars.
Oh, that looks great.
Which is this kind of strange mix of where they interview current scientists working on a trip to Mars.
Yeah.
They mix it in with, they do it like The fictional part of the story is the actual first manned mission, and there's actors acting this story in 2033.
Yeah.
And then it's almost like the current, you know, Head and Shoulders faces,
right,
talking interviews are the scientists currently working on it. And Elon Musk is funding part of this. You know, he gets interviewed a lot. So they use that as the flashback. You know, with the so there's real science, current science going in there, and then there's what that might look like in the future.
That starts this weekend.
That starts Monday.
Monday, all right.
And followed by that is Nat Geo's bringing back that Explorer series, which did a lot of really cool things. That's on
good.
Right after it on
Very
Monday.
Very good. Thank you, Kurt. That's Kurt Wagner from TVShowPatrol.com. It's on your computer. Go to TVShowPatrol.com. We'll take a quick break and then some news. Bill and Wendy on WGN. Oh, hold on. There I am. Thanks,
Hi,
Kim.
It's, that was Ryan Burrow.
I'm not accepting that. It says Kim in the script. Sorry, Ryan, but it says Kim in the script.
The newscast is rigged.
It
rigged
must
against
be
me.
Rigged. Of course it is. Well, Wendy, you knew this was going to happen because it's November, and you know what November means. More and more squirrel attacks.
Oh, I thought you were going to say mustaches.
And more mustaches.
Squirrels are attacking people?
Yes. Yes, we can hide behind it all we want, but the grim reality is squirrels are attacking in record numbers. Here's a story out of Florida. A squirrel, actually, you don't have the audio yet, Kevin, because I want to play you a little bit of the audio, because you'll say to yourself, well, this is a made up story. The squirrels aren't attacking people.
Squirrels are really cute, but they're little nuisances.
Yeah.
And my dog Tiki's out in the backyard, and there was a squirrel the other day who's on the electric wire. Why don't they get toasted,
electrocuted?
By the way?
You would think they would.
I know. The tree guy trying to cut our tree down was getting zapped because the branches were touching it. But no, the squirrel's up there just like chirping and making really irritating noises to my dog Tiki, who was just looking up at him going, really, you fall? You're dead.
They seem to have this fearless attitude. The squirrel, when we grew up, those were squirrels. They knew the pecking order of the world, and they knew stay away from humans. But squirrels now, like in the summer, when we're outside eating in our backyard, they just come right up. They run over your feet. I don't like the direction that this is
taking. They run over your feet?
Yeah. We have that all the time. Squirrels and chipmunks. They're in cahoots, Wendy. You know I rarely say cahoots.
I know, but unless, I love when you do.
Unless they truly are in cahoots, and I believe they are. All right, so here's what's going on in Florida. Well, I'll let the story speak for itself. This is real. I didn't make this up. This is what's going on in Florida. Listen to this.
A squirrel attacks people inside a senior center. Good evening. I'm Matt Austin.
And I'm Ginger Gadsden. We've never heard of anything quite like this before. The attack happened this afternoon inside the Sterling Court Senior Center. Now, that's on Alabaster Way in Deltona near Saxon Boulevard. Jennifer Ortega is there live tonight. And, Jen, you listened to the call for help. So bizarre. How did this happen?
Matt, Ginger, that squirrel caused a lot of commotion here at the senior home. The woman that actually made the 911 call said that there was at least three people that were bit, and they don't know how it got inside. Now, tonight, we heard that 911 call and can hear how it all went down.
We had a squirrel that entered our building, and it's in our activity room, and it's jumping on people and biting them and scratching them.
The attack happened around 2 o'clock. The woman telling dispatch that people are bleeding and that they need help.
Does anybody there need an ambulance to take them to the hospital?
I don't know if we need to go in an ambulance, but we need some care for people here. It's still in there, and the people are bleeding.
You can hear people in the background breathing heavy, saying they don't feel good.
I'm trying to determine what kind of assistance you need, so can you please verify that nobody's left in the room?
There's another person in there. The squirrel has been tossed outside, but we need help for the people.
The caller finally saying people have gotten to safety in the office and lobby after the critter was thrown out.
How many people were bitten?
At least 3 or 4, possibly more.
So there you have it. That's going on in Florida at a senior center where squirrels are not just attacking people, they're preying on the elderly.
I can't even believe that.
No, I know.
And
that's what I mean.
In?
They're getting more aggressive. Well, you know how they get in. They come in dressed as a senior citizen. And then once they're inside.
Little baby walker.
Yes. Yes.
That's
with very
terrible.
Small tennis balls at the bottom. It's, I don't know what happened, but forever, like when I was a kid, if there was an animal near you, they would see that you were a human and you're
bigger.
Yes. You're at the top of the food chain. So the animal would reason it out quickly and go, I better stay away. But those days are gone. The squirrels and the chipmunks, you know the song, we are the squirrels, we are the chipmunks. They have gotten together, and they're killing people, or trying to.
I find that very shocking that a squirrel would continually attack people.
Right.
I could see where it's scared, and
right.
It runs up a woman's house coat and maybe scratches her in the face, but
yeah.
Then gets out of there. It sounds like it was just jumping from person to person, attacking them.
Did you ever have an animal get into your house that wasn't supposed to be? And I don't mean
a
mouse, but anything more prominent than a mouse?
I don't think so. We've never had a bat. I know a neighbor had a bat.
We had a bat when I was a kid get in the house.
Why'd you let it in?
No, it came in. It flew.
I know.
We wouldn't just let bats in the house. It came in through
the
chimney. No, we didn't have a belfry.
Oh.
We didn't. We wished we had a belfry when I was a kid. My dad's every year, this is the year we finally get a belfry. Please, Dad, this year.
Through the chimney.
It flew in through the chimney and underneath, and it was on like one of our heating vents.
Staying warm.
I was in school, and this happened while I was gone in school. My brother was in school. And the police came, and they drew a weapon. Like, they were going to shoot the bat. And my parents had to explain to them that we don't allow shooting in the house.
Plus, excuse me, but when you shoot a bullet, and if, you know, a bat's tiny,
right.
It's going to go through, and then you would have had holes all over your walls.
Right, right.
That's crazy. I think we had a bird in the house once.
That's a problem, too.
Not a bird in the hand.
No, a bird in the house.
Right. And that was, I think it was our bird that got out of the cage. I think
oh,
that would happen.
Well, that's all right, then. You can fix that.
Darn, I haven't had any wild animals in my house.
I'm trying to remember when we lived in an apartment in Rogers Park, and some animal got in downstairs and just like tore into stuff. I'm trying to remember what kind of an animal it was. I think a possum may have gotten in.
Those poor things are so ugly.
Well, they used to come when we would grill, never in the daytime,
possum?
But always at night. We would not grill possum. We would grill steakums. And, you know, that's
the
favorite food of possum.
Oh,
they love steakums and rice. That's what they like.
Ah,
that's what they survive on.
I learned so much from you.
Like wild rice. So whenever we would grill, again, not in the daytime, but at nighttime, possum would come and they would smell it, obviously. And you'd have to explain to them that there was not enough, that I was just making a sandwich for me. Get your own steakums. then they'd be disappointed. But they do that thing, you know that phrase playing possum? That's a real thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like if you scare one, they just stiffen up and they tip over.
And you think they're dead, so I do that sometimes too.
Yeah, well, you have seen you do that.
Because then people stop hurting you.
Right.
Mark has a reason why squirrels are biting, because I don't know what is
what
happening.
Is it?
Mark, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
We're in shock.
I love your show.
Thank you.
Yeah, the reason, it's real easy. I mean, it's real simple. The reason the squirrels are biting the people is because they think they're nuts.
Oh, God.
Oh, he's right.
He's right. Well, you know what?
What?
You know what? Now, squirrels are highly, I mean, intelligent creatures. Okay?
Are they?
You got a whole squirrel routine going here, Mark?
These are the same creatures, okay?
Yeah.
Run into streets, into oncoming traffic.
Right.
But then they run back the same way.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Right.
Oh, not to get off topic or anything.
Already
like that,
are.
But Dr. Frankenstein, you know, he's made a new creation.
What is it?
Oh, he's the one that's about to take the White House.
Really, Mark?
Take over the White House, yeah.
First of all, not funny. Second of all, hey, to get off topic here, you know, Mark, really, what zanies are you going to be at this weekend?
Thank you, Mark.
All right.
This is why the listeners should not be given Dixie Riddle Cups before the show. This is the reason.
We're not going to be able to take calls for the next 4 years.
I know.
Now. Dave, why can squirrels run on a telephone wire and not get electrified?
Okay, good morning, guys. Great show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This
you'll
one?
See squirrels,
no.
You'll see squirrels, birds, crows, doves. They're not touching anything else but the wire. Now, if you were able to float in the air and just grab onto a wire.
I am on a good weekend.
Okay. Like the other guy said, off topic. Anyway.
Laughter, Bill. Come on.
That's all we
can do.
That's all we have left.
Go ahead, Dave. Back to you.
It wouldn't hurt. You would not get hurt. But if your feet are on the ground and you grab a wire, that's it. You're done. Okay? They're not grounded.
Oh, so if I were to tightrope walk across a wire, I'd be okay. But if I'm on a ladder that is touching the ground and I touch the wire, I'd be in trouble.
Exactly. Yep.
I'm gonna try that this weekend.
Because they're not grounded. So the theory of them wearing very small tennis shoes is ridiculous.
Now, another thing, too, about squirrels, they're high on the list of being rabid. Okay.
Yeah.
You would think like a skunk or a raccoon. Those are pretty far down the list.
Yeah, sure.
But,
yep.
There's a lot of telephone cable that is lead, okay, still in the air. And the squirrels have a tendency to chew on this, and they suffer lead poisoning, and they start to go goofy.
Mm.
Okay? That's what's happening.
I think that is a goofy squirrel. I think that is what's happening.
Not a goofy gopher.
But
now there is one, just for a little chuckle, if your producer looks it up, there's an old country tune called The Day the Squirrel Went Berserk.
The Day the Squirrel Went Berserk, and do we know who sings that?
I cannot remember, but it was a country tune. So
you know how the light's doing all Christmas music? We should do all squirrel music from now until the end of the year. That'd be great.
Now, there's one other thing, which is kind of on topic. Why did the chicken cross the road?
Why?
To show the raccoon it could really be done.
That's
perfect.
A good one.
Thanks, Dave.
Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Okay, you too.
All right.
See, it's Friday. We have to laugh.
That's all we have. That's all we can do. All right, more of your calls, more of your texts. Why are squirrels attacking elderly people in Florida? No other station is conquering this story, Wendy. It's just me and you. It's WGN.
Today the squirrel went berserk in the First Self-Righteous Church in that sleepy little town of Pascagoula.
This is in honor of Kim Gordon being in Nashville.
Right. This was Kevin and his wife's first dance at his wedding a month ago. Remember this? This is beautiful. I told him, go more traditional. And he said, now this song's been in our family for generations. We told you a story. It sounds like we made the story up because we do make up a lot of stories, but not this one. In Deltona, Florida, a squirrel got into a senior center and just went nuts, started attacking the residents.
Went nuts.
And bit, I believe they said, 3 or 4 people who were staying there at that retirement center. Why are these squirrels so upsetting all of a sudden? Why are they so aggressive?
Yeah, why are they aggressive? And Mindy, you have an idea?
Well, I have no idea, but we've had some friendly squirrels at our place. We have a lot of squirrels. We have a condo, and we actually just had a baby squirrel like coming up to our door, and my daughter and her boyfriend actually picked it up and was playing with it, everything, and she actually wanted to keep it. And well,
that's so brave. Would you ever pick up a squirrel? They could have rabies.
I would never use an animal. I agree, but I wasn't home at the time, and we also had stories where. Where we are, there's like screen-in porches, and ours is one of the screen-in porches. And I woke up one morning, opened the blinds, and there was a squirrel on our table inside our screen-in porch. I was freaking out.
Did it bite through or scratch through the screen to get in, or did it?
Yeah, it's like six different holes. Like it got in and out, I guess, a few times. So.
I am so mad at the squirrels from last summer. This was a couple summers ago. I had leopard-colored seat cushions on our wicker furniture on the front porch, and they destroyed them. They kept eating through them. So somebody told me to put bay leaves, like that you put in a spaghetti sauce, but kind of put the big leaves all over your porch furniture. And I tried that, and that didn't really work. And then I tried cayenne pepper. Somebody told me to.
I was just going to. Yeah, someone
that
told
didn't
me
work
that,
either. Then they ate through my pillows. It's like, I'm not about, you know, go. There are trees in our yard.
Right.
Hang out there.
Right.
But I, too, as a young girl, whenever like a squirrel would fall out of a nest or wherever you'd find it.
You'd raise it as your own?
Yeah, I would feed it with eyedroppers. I would mix like honey and warm milk. And I would feed them. Yeah. Same with baby bunnies and then let them go.
Yeah, my daughter is just the animal lover. I mean, we've had birds fall out and she's picked them up, and I mean, honestly, one time a mom bird or whatever, it came down towards her, and I just told her to drop it. And
right.
She did, but I mean, she has no fear. And she's an adult now, and she still does it.
You know, when you're like Florence Nightingale for animals, it never stops, Mindy, ever.
No, she's volunteer. She volunteers and everything. It's just, it's in her blood.
See?
Perfect.
Well, unlike you, Bill.
No, I don't have that in me at all. Not even a little bit.
Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Guys.
You too.
You too.
A month ago, my wife puts up decorations for Halloween, and there's on our front door, there's kind of this bouquet that has some flowers, and then it also has cranberries and a couple of other things. And one day when I came home from work, there's a squirrel up. Now, this is 4 feet above the ground, 4.5 feet above the ground. So there's a squirrel just biting at the cranberries, like holding on to the rest of the wreath.
That's what they do.
And just biting onto it. And it looked at me like, I'm here first. If you're looking for cranberries, look somewhere else because these are mine.
Did you try and scare it or swat at it?
I kept getting closer and closer, and then I was jingling my keys. So that,
was it doing that to you?
I made that noise.
Oh, you were doing it to the squirrel.
Yeah, to make him think I was a bigger squirrel.
I jangled my keys,
and he's like, oh, cool, a Jeep. And then he finally just, he left. But honestly, no fear at all, zero.
They make those squirrel guards. If you have like a bird feeder in your yard, you have to get a squirrel guard because they just go anywhere.
Yeah.
But I can't believe they were attacking these poor people, bleeding from the head. This is like a terrible sci-fi movie or something. Like he had the giant ants with them.
Right.
Night of the Lepus for the giant bunnies.
Yeah. And now this.
What are we going to call this one?
Squirrel-nado? I'm still working on
like
it. Still working on it.
I like it.
We have something very nice to give away, don't we?
Yes, we do. Thank you for reminding me because each and every weekday we are doing this because we like to give back to you, the listener. It's the Bill and Wendy Firehouse Subs lunch break. So if you want a Firehouse Subs gift card, why don't you be the fifth caller right now at 312-981-7200. And if you go to Firehouse Subs, ask for the Bill and Wendy special. You'll get the seasonal turkey and cranberry sub for only $4.99. Find a Firehouse Sub near you at firehousesubs.com. Firehouse Subs, founded by firemen. Back with Steve Bertrand after this.
That's coming up. Bye.
Thank you, Ryan, a.k.a. Kim Gordon. We appreciate you doing the news.
I'm still going with that as Kim Gordon because it said it on my script, and scripts don't lie.
They don't, ever. Hardly.
When you were doing your news, you mentioned temperature if you're in the loop, and evidently I'm out of the loop.
Are you out of the loop?
There was this big debut of a Nintendo Classic Edition NES game.
Yeah.
I am in my 50s. I do.
Wow, are you old? What happened to you? I remember you when you were young, and now, wow.
You know, in a week or two, you're going to be the exact same age as me, so
I don't know if that's
left.
True.
So, you know, I... being good parents that we are, our kids wanted this Super NES Classic Edition. That's $60, no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So Jimmy Mac went to GameStop this morning before it opened and was ready to swoop in and purchase one for each of my two boys, and it sold out immediately.
Mm-hmm.
They only got four.
Mm-hmm.
So then he went on to Best Buy, Target, Walmart, Sam's Club, all sold out. It's the Nintendo $59.99 NES Classic, and all these dumb people who bought them are not very dumb at all, because now it's going for $1,000 online at eBay. It's $60.
All right, don't please promise me you won't pay $1,000 for this if
listen,
you can retail it at $60. Is this a Christmas present for them?
No, this is for other reasons. We had deals going, and they were told they could get this.
You wagered on the presidential election with your sons? Is that
what
you're
saying?
We lost, okay. So you have to give them an Nintendo
system. So they each
get
one.
I get that. It just came out today. You know, if you wait like a couple more days, they'll be everywhere again. They're going to replenish these.
I've got a question. Do they actually, are the games loaded on there, or do you
yes.
still have to buy the cartridges?
No, the games are loaded on there.
And it's got like Zelda and Castlevania and the classics.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's got all the good stuff.
Excitebike? See, I am a kid of the late 80s and early 90s, so this is interesting for me. Mike Tyson's Punch-Out?
Is that one on there?
God, you guys, I don't have all this information. I know there's Donkey Kong.
Paperboy?
Super... I don't think that. There are like 60 games preloaded. You do an HDMI
That's
cable
you?
To your TV. No.
Double
it.
Dribble?
Is that on there?
Guys.
Temco Super Bowl?
Oh, my God. We had
is that.
That
on there?
See, this was my system. I believe the Super NES is what my husband and I... Did that come out like in 97?
Because
we registered for that for our wedding gift.
That was on the wedding registry for
Johnny
you guys.
B gave it to us.
Oh, what a nice
actually.
Gift. That's a very nice gift. Like a crystal version of it or just
no,
the standard version?
No, it was just the standard, but it was pretty funny because as we were registering for our wedding registry, Jim's like, I kind of want the Super NES. I go, put it down there. No one's going to get it for us.
Right.
But
and
they did.
They did. Good for you guys. That's
I enjoy
gift.
Playing it, but I don't understand how this works, and I think it's stinky that people buy it for $60 and then turn around. You're right. They're going to make more.
They're
it's not even Black
it's
Friday.
It's going to be everywhere in a few days. I know that they wanted it on opening day, but just tell them to be patient and save yourself $940.
Okay, A, there is no way on this
They won't
earth.
Be patient?
No, there's no way I would pay $1,000 for it. It's just aggravating.
Sure.
I think you should have some little waiver that you sign when you purchase it at a store that says you will not turn around and sell it for 10 times what it's worth.
It happens all the time, though, with rare stuff.
It's not rare.
Well, it's rare today because you can't get it, but it won't be rare very, very soon.
Tomorrow, so, can I get it?
No. Give it 2 weeks. I bet in 2 weeks from now, you'll see them everywhere.
It's even sold out on Amazon. I mean, it's sold out everywhere.
Right.
And they weren't taking pre-orders.
All right, so try places that are out of the ordinary, like try Barnes & Noble or try Walgreens.com. Try places that sell toys and stuff, but they're not known for that.
Well, now you just told everybody about that.
Kevin, take this part out of the erase this part.
Okay.
But I'm looking, every news story, it's like, oh, the Super NES Classic Edition sold out, but you can buy it for $1,000.
Why would stores only get four of them?
The reason I'm bringing this up is because I don't usually partake in this childish behavior of going out the day something is released.
Right. You see that with phones all the time.
Yeah.
There's long lines of people that want a new phone because it's the day it came out. It's the same phone if you buy it in a week or a month or a year. Actually, in a year, they've
updated
come up
a
with
bit.
New three new versions.
But, you know, so I'm thinking, you know, and I feel bad because my kids are like, you know, Dad, will you please go wait out there at GameStop, get out there 15 minutes early.
Yeah.
You know, really, they're not going to have that many of them. And I'm like laughing at them going, it's not... First of all, it's going to be people my age who want to get it.
Probably.
And Ryan's age.
Oh, yeah.
And soon to be your age.
Maybe, yeah.
Because it's fun and it's the classic games. I said, you know, they're not going to be out there. They'll just get it online or something. And kids are in school.
Now, I've seen what you're describing at
they
Toys R Us.
They had something before. This is new.
For over a year, I've seen it.
This is different.
Is it different? Because they have one that's the Super NES. They have one that's Atari. They have one that's Intellivision.
We have all of
they
those.
They have a ColecoVision. So you can play the classics. But so why is this one different?
I don't know. I just I know you can connect it to your television, but I think you can also connect it to your
blender. That'd be cool.
It would for adults because we could make like frozen margaritas while playing Super Mario or Donkey Kong.
That's like heaven.
I think you can also connect it to your Nintendo DS.
Oh.
And so you can play, like, if your brother is next door, you can play them on the thing. So it was, you know, plus they always do that to us, the two boys going, well, don't you want me and your brother to get along?
Oh, that's
me and
not
my brother?
Fair.
I know, but it works
that's
every time.
That's manipulative. Good for them.
So it's out of stock everywhere.
It's already sold out.
I can
get you a Cabbage Patch Kid. Do you want one?
Those are still sold out, I understand.
Furby, interested? I can get you a Furby.
I have a Furby.
A refurbished Furby. You want in?
There shouldn't have even been an original Furby. I just don't know how these toy things work, and why does Nintendo come out with it now before Black Friday, before Christmas?
Because they're building a want. They know what they're doing. You know, you give it a couple of months so kids hear about it, and they go, oh, that kid's got one. I got to get one.
Trump is building a wall. Sony's building a want.
I'm just really bothered, and I'm embarrassed because I'm like, they're not going to sell out. Why would they sell out?
Well, you wouldn't think, like, the store that you were referring to that Jimmy went to was a store
only
that sells
copies.
Video games, so they should know better than anybody. There's a hole in the marketplace. Let's get a bunch of them, not just four. Unless they were allocated, maybe Nintendo said.
I'm sure they did because they weren't doing any pre-sales. And I feel bad because Jim is supposed to be working at home, and he went to GameStop, Target, Walmart, Sam's Club,
he spent the whole
Best
day
Buy.
Looking for this
not
thing?
The whole day. It was, you know, a quick no walking in.
Oh. They just say that as you walk into the store?
Yeah, we don't have
the have the new Nintendo thing. Thanks for shopping.
I just think it's a travesty.
It is a travesty.
And I don't like people that buy things and then go sell it on eBay because, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Who in their right mind is going to buy it on eBay right now for $1,000?
$1,000 is an unrealistic number, but
$60
I guarantee
game.
You, even though it's selling for $60, somebody could easily double or triple their money today. If somebody bought one, you could easily get $120 or maybe even triple $180 if you wanted to.
I just picked one up for $150. It's gonna
That's
be
not bad,
it's
Steve.
It's going to be delivered on Monday morning.
That's not bad.
If you were here, I would kick you in the shin as hard as I could. If it's for me, I can wait. You know, you try,
you
make a promise to your kid, you hate to go back.
Right, I get that.
All right, Kathy has a little information on this. Hi, Kath, how are you?
Hi, Wendy. First of all, I have to say that everybody compares me to you.
Oh.
You poor thing.
Do you have a drinking problem too, Kathy?
I do not have a drinking problem.
I swear to God, I go to work in the morning and listen to you guys, you know, when I work at 11. And it's like, okay, you guys have been drinking. There's no way you could be this funny. I have tears in my eyes.
Oh, you're very nice.
Aww.
Thank you.
All of you.
Are
Thank
we
you.
Here? I'm going to use the one of the catchphrases that Bill and I absolutely despise. Are you my sister from another mister?
I probably am. Oh, no.
Don't you hate that?
I think I am. My brothers think you are part of our family.
Oh, that's
really
nice.
Do.
You got to get more Christmas gifts now, Wendy, for
Bill,
people.
You know what? Come to Thanksgiving.
You should do. You want to do that? Let's do that.
You come with me.
Let's go. I'm
All
in.
Right.
All right. You guys would be unbelievable. I'm one of eight.
Oh.
So yeah.
Which table would Wendy and I be sitting at
then?
The kids' table, probably? Yeah.
Well, probably the kids' table at that point.
All right.
All right. So why do they do this? Why do they get our hopes up and sell out? That's just not fair.
Because they just hold out. They hold out.
Because
You'll
this
be able to get it again.
Here's what this does. This makes any kid who want this want it even more because
yeah,
it's
right.
unobtainable.
And Christmas is coming. So
what?
People are trying to get it at Christmas. Christmas is coming. So they're buying them as fast as they can for Christmas. I bet they're out again before Christmas.
They definitely will be.
No, yeah, sold out again before Christmas?
They'll have them again. They'll sell out. You know,
I'm
that's
sick
the
of
way
this.
It works.
No, but they're sold out now all over the place. It's the same thing with the Cubs stuff. As far as Dick's, I walked into Dick's Sporting Goods.
Yeah.
And they had everything but the locker room hat.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
but they'll
sizes.
Make more.
And they had your sizes. And they had, you know, I mean, because I couldn't find a small or I couldn't find a medium.
Sure.
You know, it was extra large. So I ended up buying extra large stuff or large stuff.
Well, this will give you an excuse to put on some weight. That's what I would do.
Holidays
I'd gain a whole bunch
coming.
Of weight. And
Kathy, thank you so, so much for calling. We
it's
appreciate
like talking
it.
To you on the phone, when Kathy. I didn't know who was who.
Actually, if I ever want to take a day off, we should have kept your number. All right, quick break, and then Matt knows why there's only a certain amount, because I don't totally understand that at all. It's Bill Left, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. All right, trying to be a good mom, providing for my children, not food, not clothing, not a roof over their head, but the NES Classic. It
much
came
more
out,
important than food or shelter.
Well, they are lucky enough to
important.
Have that.
Yeah.
30 prepackaged games, a controller, $59.99, released today, already being sold on eBay for $1,000 because everybody purchased them and they sold out.
Mm-hmm.
Why, I ask, do stores, they're only selling them in-store, you couldn't pre-order them, and why do stores have such a small amount? Matt, you know the answer to this?
Yeah, hi, I'm a UPS driver, and
got a couple of extra NES classics on your truck?
No, nah, but when these systems come out, like the Xboxes and all that, I have people follow me around in the morning when I'm, you know, waiting for me to get there to the store sometimes, especially on the holidays. And I asked some of these GameStop managers, I'm like, why did they not send more over? How could they only send it? Could they only get a couple of those two in? And they said, because that's all they send over from Japan, and they have to divide them up evenly around to all the stores. So you have to wait for the next container to come over from Japan, and they do the same thing and divide it evenly among the stores, because that's all Japan shipped over.
That just seems crazy to me. Why, if you have something that everybody's been touting and you're waiting for it to come out, wouldn't you want to have a bunch of them at stores so they sell out? Wouldn't you make more money that way?
That's all they have ready to come over. That's what I have.
There's an allotment. So you only get what they can allot you at the outset.
Yeah.
As time goes on,
they'll make more.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because you got to figure every single GameStop, Target, Walmart, every single Amazon, they all get divided up amount what comes over, and then you just got to wait for the next shipment to come over and do the same thing.
Well, thanks for your expertise on that, Matt. We appreciate it. Bill, somebody texted in and says, I'm a sales rep who calls on Target stores. There was a line at 6:30 this morning. All were sold out by 7:10.
That was fast. I'm on eBay, where there are over 6,000 available right now.
Those 6,000 sons of guns.
Now, you'll like this part a lot. Of the ones that are regular auctions, so the way eBay works, you can sell something a couple of different ways. You can sell under what they call the buy it now bracket, which means here's the asking price. If you're the first person to click on that asking price, you get it. It's just that simple. And then the other one are free auctions that work like standard auctions. So on the free auctions, the standard price that I'm finding right now, there's one that's going to be up for bid in 45 minutes at $211. It is currently at $265.
Oh,
again,
God.
This sold for $60
earlier
morning. Today. And the best one, you'll love this one. There's one under buy it now. I'm going to show you so you know I'm not making it up.
Oh, my G.
$10,000.
What?
That's a pretty good profit. He's not going to get that.
Ever.
He's not ever going to get that.
Even if they don't ever make one again, he will never get $10,000.
Right.
Why am I saying he? Maybe it's a she.
Women are too smart for this. It's a guy. It's So you were questioning who would pay $1,000 for it. Now there's plenty of other ones, all in regular auctions, all in the $200 to $300 range. I promise you, those guys will get $200 to $300. There's no problem there.
I can wait. I don't know, Gina. I covet your son's Nintendo.
Yeah, he's very, very excited.
Your son got one?
Yeah, he said, I'm out in Lake in the Hills, and he went to GameStop this morning because he saw a sign on the door that they were getting them in. They got 11, and he said he was third in line, and the kids in front of him had been waiting since 4 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
But he didn't think he had a chance, but when he got there, he said there were 12. The manager took one, and He got one, but he said something. He told me that the reason there aren't that many is because of the technology, that they're bringing something else out, and they didn't think there was going to be a demand for this particular system. I don't really know that much about it, but
So Nintendo has another product they'll come out with soon that will supersede this, right?
Yeah. Right. They're saying that's why they're not making that many of them. And But
I bet they do.
I can't believe I have to tell him now when he comes back from work that that's what they're selling for.
What's your address? I might want to come by
Beware
and borrow
of Wendy.
It.
She's going to come by and steal your son's game system.
I'm at Algonquin and...
Oh, no, 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 no.
No, don't tell me. But now, wait, Gina, is this a Lake in the Hills accent? Because it's beautiful.
It's a Scottish accent.
I love it.
But a lot of people in Lake of the Hills have adopted the Scottish accent, Wendy. It's very popular. It's Lock in the Hills.
Okay, the new.
All right. Well, congratulations. Tell your son to be extra special nice to you all weekend because no one is able to get these except your lucky son.
He's going to be so happy when I tell him that.
All right. Well,
of course.
Cool. Thank you for calling, Gina.
Bye, Gina.
Sure. Bye.
Lock in the Hills.
Lock in the Hills.
You are funny.
Cut it out.
Funny, 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 Bill. Oh, I think I hung up on somebody.
Wendy, I'm on eBay and I've just, the one that was 10,000, I just clicked the buy it now. I gave them your information, your credit card number. So you'll thank me later. I know at first you go, oh my God, 10,000 bucks. What have I done?
I need two of them.
Oh, let me see if I can find a second one at that price. Hold on. I can help you.
All right. Well, they better come out soon.
You'll see. These will be... In a couple of weeks, you go, I can't believe people were paying that kind of money because they'll be everywhere. It's the excitement of getting it on opening day.
You know what I'm going to be doing on my way home?
Looking at every store
Stopping
you can find.
Stopping at every right. store and walking
Ma'am,
in.
Ma'am, this is a Carnival Shoes. We don't sell Nintendo systems. What are you doing?
Give me a pair of wedgies while I'm here, will you?
Right. Right. All right. A break. Some news. More show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Great job, Steve. Thank you very much. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And a while ago, we were giving away a fabulous prize to somebody. Kevin, you were on your honeymoon, and it was in Cherry, Illinois. And I said, that must be a mistake. Maybe you
thought...
That
was a street we saw, not a city.
Never heard of that. And then listeners were texting and calling in and said, really? You dummies? You've born and bred here in the Chicago metro area, and you never heard of the Cherry Mine disaster? And we looked at each other quizzically going, huh?
We were not aware of the Cherry Mine disaster.
We knew nothing about it. So then we found out Steve Stout wrote a book about the Cherry Mine disasters. And Steve, we spoke to you and learned a little about that. And this Sunday is the anniversary of that disaster?
Absolutely. It's the 107th anniversary of the Cherry Mine disaster. One of the worst coal mining disasters in Illinois and in Illinois history and the nation's history. 259 men and boys were killed in the coal mines underneath Cherry, Illinois.
Steve, I remember in our discussion with you a couple months ago, conditions were a little substandard. There was next to no safety precautions taken for this mine, correct?
Absolutely. It was one of the first mines in Illinois to have electrical power, but that... power plant went out a few weeks before the disaster, and the men just reverted to open flames, open illumination, Jeez. Candles, basically on their little hats, torches along the walls, and they went like 500 feet below the surface, miles away from the nearest exit to dig with picks and shovels in the coal vein.
And was this, due to all these deaths, was this when kind of workman's comp kind of happened?
It was the first time in the state of Illinois that a company was held liable for the safety of its employees, and our current Illinois workman's compensation law derives right from that disaster.
And this weekend, as you mentioned, the 107th, I hate to say anniversary of it, but it happened 100...
Observance.
Okay, the Cherry Mine disaster. Will there be some kind of ceremony or observance going on in Cherry on Sunday?
Nothing too formal, but the churches in the area and some of the service groups do have memorials and prayers for the deceased miners. But at the 100th anniversary, there were thousands in the street during the anniversary day there, 7 years ago.
All right. Well, we learned about the Cherry Mine disaster from you. And then Starved Rock, I can't speak for Bill's family, but I think everybody at some point in their upbringing goes to Starved Rock. And you had mentioned that there was Starved Rock Killer, which I knew nothing about either. So we're going to learn about that right now.
On March 14th, 1960, three women from Riverside, Illinois, went to Starved Rock to... for a day of hiking. They checked into their rooms, ate lunch at the beautiful lodge that we have here in Utica, Illinois. They hiked out into St. Louis Canyon, and 2 days later, they were found beaten to death in a crime that stunned the Illinois Valley here, shocked the entire state, the nation as well. And more importantly, it led to great and major changes in the way the state police investigates crime. Before Gacy, before Speck, it was the crime of the century here in Illinois.
All right. I grew up in Brookfield. I went to Riverside Brookfield High School. I'm really shocked. I have never heard of this before.
Oh, it's such sad news, and it's still in the news every year. The man convicted of one of the murders within the crime still is serving a life sentence. He's up for his 20th parole hearing next month, and Chester Wigger, the man convicted, is the longest-serving inmate in Illinois Department of Corrections. That means he holds the record now of being in jail the longest of anybody in Illinois prisons.
Steve, explain this to us. This man, Chester Wigger, was found guilty on one murder count.
Yes.
All right. So how could it possibly be that these women traveling together probably murdered together, and yet they only found him guilty of murder in one of those cases?
Well, I believe that such a shocking crime back in 1960 was way beyond the means of the prosecutors and the police departments at that time. So they were quite afraid that if they tried him for all three murders at once and he gets and they make some kind of technical error, that he would get off. So they decided to try him individually for the crimes. After he was found guilty of the one murder, of course, and sentenced to prison instead of the electric chair, what else could they do? They didn't think they would get death, so why go to the tremendous expense of bringing him to trial for the other two murders when all they could hope for was a duplication of the life sentence?
Did he ever admit to the murders?
He did nine times on the day and the subsequent days of his arrest on November 17th, 1960. However, he saw his court-appointed attorney, and he has trying to convince everybody that he's innocent of the crime ever since. So he has not confessed since, in over 60 years, actually.
All right. And any motive behind this? I mean, after he did confess, did he just say, was there a motive?
The motive was robbery. He was later identified as a man who would rob visitors to the park, sneak by and grab purses and other factors. And he just thought that he worked at the lodge at the time. I believe his confessions, that he saw the women leave the lodge after their lunch at Starved Rock Lodge, such a beautiful place, followed them into the canyon and robbed them. And there's quite a lot of people here in the Illinois Valley think that Mr. Wigger is not guilty of the crime. But, however, there has never been any documented real evidence to prove otherwise.
What are they basing that belief on, Steve? Is there a reason they don't think he's guilty?
Well, besides his dying confession, Bill, they just can't understand how one man can attack, intimidate, and kill three people who were of middle-aged women, who were probably just a little bit larger than Mr. Wigger himself. How could he attack and intimidate and then ultimately kill three people? My explanation is you have to go and ask that question down in the canyon. It's one of the most beautiful places in the state of Illinois. It's really an altar to nation, nature itself, and 80-foot walls on three sides of you. They walked into the canyon. Chester blocked their path of retreat. He was not armed, according to his own testimony, and they were just intimidation, and it just robbery that got out of hand and ended up with their deaths. Very, very sad case here.
And were people going, did they not go to Starved Rock after that? I mean, was business going down
because
of that?
Of the murders. When I was writing my book a few years ago, I talked to a lot of Chicago people about this, and they said, well, that's the reason, Steve. I don't go to Starved Rock because once you had a murder there. And my reply is always, well, I don't go to Chicago because once you had a fire.
Oh. That's a good answer.
And plenty of murders to go around as well,
yeah.
Unfortunately.
So a lot of times, Steve, when you get a terrible crime like this, it captivates the nation. what sort of play did this get nationwide? Was this just something that the Illinois Valley area was concerned about, or is this the kind of thing that everybody in America at some point had heard about?
This was front page news across the summer of 1960, not only across the nation, across the world. There were international reporters here at the trial and such, and it was international news around the world. It was just unheard of. It was before the words mass murderer really came into popularity within our vocabulary here in America. It was just shocking. And in a state park where you're supposed to feel safe, where you're supposed to feel, one with nature, to have such a horrible thing happen here. I have to say this. I live right outside Star Rock State Park. It's the crown jewel of state parks in Illinois. It's the only state park that turns a profit for the state, and we are well on our way to having the best attendance year ever here in Star Rock, and we're very proud of our park, and it's a very safe place, and I want to invite all your listeners who have not come to Star Rock to walk the trails, see our waterfalls, and see the one of the most majestic lodges here in the Midwest.
And this is the year 2016 right now that you're on par to break the record for people visiting, right?
Absolutely. It's been a great year for visitors.
And it's a mild fall, and it's just beginning. Trees are changing a little later because it's been warmer, so this would be the perfect time to go. Steve, we're going to take a quick break and find out a little bit more about both of his books, actually. It's called The Starved Rock Murders, also The Cherry Mine Disaster. One of them I don't think is available. We'll talk to you about that when we return. It's Steve Stout. It's Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. All right, we're learning about some of our Illinois history that I can't speak for you, Bill, but I really didn't know much about.
No, not really.
Author and Starved Rock country historian Steve Stout on the line with us. Your books, The Starved Rock Murders and The Cherry Mine Disaster. Now, we looked for these before when we spoke to you about The Cherry Mine Disaster. Is that book out of print?
Yeah, Black Damp. It's called Black Damp. The story of the Cherry Mine Disaster. I was lucky enough to write that historical novel based on the disaster back about 35, 40 years ago. And it's currently out of print, but there's a lot of libraries, and every now and then you can see it on eBay, just like you were talking about with the
Nintendo craziness.
Yeah. And, I'm quite proud to say all the copies have been sold out. We may reprint in the near future. But there's still Starved Rock murder books available, and that's been out about 30 years and such. And there's always a tremendous interest in true crime stories. So I'm very proud to be associated with both of those tales. But I don't want to scare anybody away from the park with the tales of Starved Rock murders. It's a very safe place. It's a great place. And I tell people who don't live in the area, I said, I live where you vacation. So I'm a very lucky person to live here. And I also work at the Times newspaper in Ottawa, Illinois. I have for about 7 years now. So
as a writer.
Yes. And I'm very as a staff writer, staff journalist. And I just am so fascinated with the history of the Illinois Valley here because Ottawa, Illinois, where I work, was the site of the first Lincoln-Douglas debates. I consider it the first shots fired in the Civil War. They were verbal shots, but we had the first debate here right in the park, Washington Square, right in downtown Ottawa. And we have the West Clocks Factory was here in La Salle, Peru, where they was the leader in wind-up alarm clocks, and they really changed the way America woke up. We had Lindbergh crash here north of Ottawa back right before his flight to Paris during a mail route accident between Peoria and Chicago when he was flying, and he crashed in the fog here. We've had some very interesting things speaking of Veterans Day. We've had a shipyard in Seneca, Illinois, which is very close to where I live, and they had 11,000 men and women working in this Prairie shipyard. They actually were building LST landing ship tanks, the boats that helped to win World War II. In fact, my father, who joined the Navy at the age of 17, he, after his basic training at Great Lakes, he caught his ship in Seneca, took it down the Illinois, down the Mississippi, Gulf of Mexico, across the Panama Canal, and out to the Pacific, where he was lining up with the other million or so men preparing for the invasion of Japan when we dropped
the bombs.
And so there's so much history here in the Illinois Valley and Starbrock country that a person like me can never learn it all, but quite fascinating. With, I live in the area where actually we not only changed our own backyard in the state, we changed the world.
Sure.
From here.
That is a lot of history.
A lot of history.
You could say a shipload of history if you wanted to.
I'm very excited that you guys always seem so interested. I've done other interviews where they pretend to be interested.
No, this is great stuff.
Well, I know.
I can tell in your voice.
Because those other hosts are probably more knowledgeable than we are.
Maybe.
This is like we're just totally learning this for the first time, but it's fascinating.
I'm glad to help.
All right, we have Rose who wanted to jump in on the conversation. Rose, we're talking to Steve Stout. We're kind of talking about the Illinois Valley, the Starved Rock murders, Black Damp, the Cherry Mine disaster. What was your comment or question for Steve?
Well, actually, you're talking about two things that I'm familiar with. My mother would be 99 years old today, and she remembers talking about the Cherry Valley mine, the Cherry Mine disaster, because she grew up in Tunica. As far as the Starved Rock murders, I'm 70, so I was a young girl when those murders took place. One of the women that was murdered was a relative of our neighbor's who lived up in Antioch, and I don't know if the name Oding means anything to you.
Do you know that name, Steve?
Oh, absolutely. That's one of the women that was killed.
Right.
Lillian Oding.
Right, yes. And her brother lived up close to us. And I remember, you know, pictures are impressionable to a young child. And I remember looking at the paper, and they had a picture in there, if I'm not mistaken, that was taken by one of the women. And when they developed the film on the camera, they saw this gentleman standing in the trees. And that was how they helped to figure out who it was who had committed the murders. Do you know anything about that?
Yes, I do. Actually, they developed the film out of the women's camera and did find the pictures taken on the hike before they were killed. The Eastman Kodak Company actually studied those negatives and out of the camera, and it ultimately was decided that there was a shadow of a double exposure. Really a capture of the man, but that was one of the, you know, one of the stories that came out in the Chicago Tribune at the time, that the victims actually photographed their attacker. It wasn't true, but I've seen the picture a thousand times.
In my mind, I still can see that picture in my mind because it was published in the papers.
And it was also published in national magazines, you know.
Did he not work at the lodge?
Yes, he was a dishwasher at the lodge, and he was on break at the time.
Not a good way to spend his break, I'll tell you.
No.
And
your caller,
Rose,
made me think that's something I should mention, of the women's names. They were Lillian Oding, Mildred Lindquist, and Frances Murphy. One of the sad parts about this story is it's not about who killed them. It's not about the victims. It's about where they were killed. And you'll be hard-pressed to find another murder case where the location of the murder is the most important thing, because it was a state park. And that's very sad.
It is pretty sad. Rose, thank you very much for calling. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yes. Bye, Rose.
Steve, go ahead. We had to let Rose go because we have to break for news.
I just think it's very sad that the location is what keeps this story alive. If they were killed in a parking lot or outside a building, we wouldn't be talking about the deaths of these three victims. We're only talking about it because of Starved Rock State Park. And that's always so strange to me. And I need to remind people that these were mothers, grandmothers. These were real people that were killed, and their deaths actually changed the system. The state police changed the way they investigate crimes because of the mistakes and the lessons learned in this case. It's very important in the annals of state police history.
And give these women's names again before we let you go, Steve.
Yeah, I would like to. Lillian Oding, Mildred Lindquist, and Frances Murphy. Friends, close friends, all from Riverside, Illinois. And I don't want anybody to forget their names.
Very nice of you, Steve. Great to talk to you again. His name again is Steve Stout. His books, Starved Rock Murders and The Cherry Mine Disaster.
Black Damp, The Cherry Mine
Black
Disaster.
Damp, yeah, a little hard to find, but worth it. Check your local library. They may have a copy. Thanks, Steve. Greatly appreciate it, like I said.
Well, thank you. If you ever have any questions about Starved Rock Country history, please call on me, and I know we'll talk again.
You got it.
Oh,
I promise.
Anything related to
we
Illinois.
Talk about West Clocks sometime.
All right.
The famous West Clocks factory.
That's perfect.
When you have the time.
Oh, I get it. He's good, that Steve. Thank you, Steve.
You're
Steve
right
Stout,
twice
everybody.
A day.
Thanks, Wendy.
Take
Thanks,
care.
Steve.
All right, a quick break, and then the other Steve, Steve Bertrand with the news, and then some more show, Bill and Wendy, WGN. Thanks, Steve.
We're like two fish out of water today.
We're in a for people just tuning in. Wendy and I are in a different studio than normal.
And it stinks up here.
It smells like a little musty, doesn't it? I don't know what that is.
Must?
Is it must that makes that musty aroma? Usually, you know, I carry mothballs in my utility belt, and for some reason today I don't have any. So.
How do you get their little legs apart?
Oh, it takes time, and they are not happy about it. I'll say that right out loud. So if you want to jump in, 312-981-7200, that's our call line, that's our text line. Or if you just want to come up and smell the musty aroma of the seventh floor, feel free.
It's really bad. I mean, I'm sorry.
I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is.
It smells like teenage boys that have been outside rolling in the leaves all day.
That's what I was going to say.
That's where they do the sports shows over the weekend.
Is that what it is,
Steve? It really?
Yeah.
Because it smells like it.
But Mark Harmon wears
he smells
that.
Good.
He's got that Elizabeth Taylor perfume that smells so good on him.
White
Why does
diamonds?
It smell? Yeah, it's white diamonds. He wears white diamonds.
Not enough, though.
Is that what it is?
Does right. he wear that?
Yeah, he just smells good in it. It just works with his body chemistry.
He can't afford real white diamonds, so he wears the cologne.
Yeah.
Perfume.
I'm going to have to talk like this for the rest of the day. Like that's, Squidward.
That's fine.
Oh, man. All right. We're all parents, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Apparently.
You're good.
Thank you.
A list was put together by Good Housekeeping. I don't know if you boys
Never
read
miss
that.
It. Never miss
Mark
it.
Mark Harmon and I share a subscription.
Do you?
Yes, and he initials it when he's finished and gives it to me,
oh,
and then I pass it along
nice.
To Kim Gordon.
But
that's
he just
nice.
Rips the perfume samples out of it.
These are a bunch of things that you should never, ever, ever say to your kids.
Oh, this is valuable.
I think so.
Because you want a good relationship with your kids, and this helps. Don't say these things if you want a good relationship with your kids.
Yeah, but I would like to discuss these because I don't know if I agree with all of them.
Oh, all right.
Here's the first one you should never say to your kid. I do everything for you.
Oh, that's terrible.
What?
Because you don't have to say it. Why would you say that?
Just do it.
Just do it and realize it.
What?
You don't want to say I do everything for you.
But I do.
Yeah, but you shouldn't vocalize it.
You don't want to guilt him into it.
Catholic, that's how it rolls.
Is that what it is?
Yep, that's how I was taught.
Yeah.
It is funny, though, you know, my mom was fine. She wasn't, like, really warm and bubbly all the time. But,
right.
You know, you learn things from your parents because that's who teaches you.
Sure, of course.
But then there are some people who don't enjoy what their parents have done, or if there was abuse involved, obviously they turn the corner and go the other way.
Yeah.
But don't you find yourself every once in a while saying something where it, like, clicks and you go,
oh, my parents used to say this, and now I'm saying
this.
I'm
them,
yeah.
Yes.
All right, my mom had a version of this phrase. Now tell the version you're not supposed to say, and then I'll give you my mom's version of it.
The version you're not supposed to say is, I do everything for you.
Right. Here's what my mom would say, and she only said it about 500 times when I was growing up, so I kind of remember this. Tell me if this sounds even a little bit familiar. I do, and I do, and I do for you kids, and this is the thanks I get. Did you ever hear that phrase?
Yeah, but that's kind of nicer. In a weird way,
Is it? All right.
I do, and
I
do.
And I do for you kids, small pause, and this is the thanks I get.
See, because then I was kind of a smart-ass teenager.
What?
I know you find that shocking,
on.
And I'd be like, you do, you do, you do. What do you do?
That would make the situation better. Say that.
Well, I might have said this on occasion. I try not to, but first, according to Good Housekeeping, this isn't true. Second, one of the most damaging things for a child is the unlived life of a parent.
Mm-hmm.
Lastly, this leaves the child with no place to put their hurt and anger. They think, if mom and dad are selfless and do everything for me, then how can I be angry at them? Exactly!
Sure.
Isn't that why we say that?
Yes, I think so.
I say it going, I do everything for you. Will you pick up your garbage or your clothes?
Do something for me. Let's make this an equal partnership, that kind of thing.
I don't know. I just want them to pick up after themselves. Yeah. So it's like, why should I pick it up? That's where I would use it. Maybe I'm using it wrong. Oh. I do everything for you. Can't you pick up your own clothes?
See, that makes sense, though, but we're looking at it now on the parent side of it. When you're a kid, you go, well, isn't that the parent's job? I drop stuff, you pick it up. That's the agreement. that's how it's worked for centuries. Why would we stop that now?
All right, we have more of these. And listeners, can you jump in if you'd like? 312-981-7200. We'll take a quick break and more of these things that we shouldn't say. I want to hear more of your mom's wisdom.
Oh, she was good.
I do and I do and I do.
And this is the thanks I get. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. What's really driving Chicago's violence? WGN TV News examines different inequalities dividing our city. Tonight, it'll be education. That's on WGN TV News at 9.
All right, we are talking about things you should never say to your kids, and I don't know.
This is from Good Housekeeping.
Yeah, and they know how to keep a good house, I'll tell you.
I'll give them that.
Somebody's texting saying you should never say you're an ingrate.
Oh.
That's good advice.
I think that's solid advice.
What about, I have all this gray hair because of you?
Oh, yeah. Hey, did you ever hear that? I've heard that one.
We have a running joke because Michael was pretty young and we were at the pediatrician's office and Jim had taken him. And the doctor came in and said, oh, Jim, haven't seen you in a while. You look different. And Michael said something like, he's very gray.
Oh, that was nice to point that out, wasn't it?
So now it's like we say, he's very gray, and then we say, it's
because
of you guys.
Because of you, sure.
All right, here's another thing you shouldn't say to your kids. You did great on your test, but why can't you do that all the time?
Oh, yeah. I think there's probably an urge to say that, but you want to refrain from that because it sets them up.
And it's all the positive reinforcement and self-esteem kind of goes the other way. We learned from a program director before that when somebody says but in a sentence, anything they've said previously is a lie.
True. I remember that. Yeah.
It is kind of true when you think about it. Like, I like you, but you're a goof.
Yeah.
And I found myself, one of my sons did really well on a test and I said, oh my God, great job. And I said, and it was stupid, I said, let's work on that math grade a little bit, though. And that was stupid. I should have saved it for a different time.
No, but if I can side with you on this, what it's doing is you're still giving a
great
compliment,
job.
But you're bridging it into, and since you're doing so well in this, let's make everything good.
Yeah, but not everything's going to be good. And I guess when I think about it now.
It seemed like a good time, though, to pull that out. I would have done the same.
I did, and I felt bad because he's like, can I just take the accolades for this one? I said, you know what? You're right.
No.
We'll talk about math later. And he's like, I won't be home.
No, that's right. Do it later. Do it in 5 minutes. Go, okay, I'll give you 5 minutes, and then we'll talk about it.
But we don't mean these things to be mean.
No.
It's just we're parents
now. Well, that's one. I don't know if it's on the list, but because, and I know our parents did this to us, so why shouldn't we pass this on to our kids?
It's only fair.
You go, I've lived a lot more life than you, and I've seen more things, and I've done more things, and trust me when I tell you, ... it's not a good idea to do what you're about to do, you know?
And when your parents told you that, did you listen to them?
Not once.
I know.
Not once. Because then you could pull out as the kid, you go, yeah, but things were different back then.
And
you know,
they were.
When dinosaurs ruled the earth. We don't have to worry about mastodons biting us in half now.
All right. I don't know. We have to take this call just because of the name. Is this Grandma Titi?
That's it. You got it.
Hello, Grandma Titi.
All my kids call me Grandma Titi.
Can I just say, you're not our grandma. Neither Bill's nor mine. But
nope.
It was just fun to say Grandma Titi.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I get a kick out of it, and I feel very proud of it that even my grandson's high school friends come over, and I'm Grandma Titi.
Party at Grandma Titi's house. Let's go.
Yeah, exactly. Well, one of my favorite things to do, and my husband just hates when I do it, we have a teenage grandson that lives in our house, and not every once in a while, but we throw, a few bucks at him.
you know,
sure.
Just because.
To get Why out not? Of the house. Leave us alone. Go out.
Yeah, and occasionally I'll ask him to do something, and I get the roll of the eyes.
Oh, oh no. That drives me nuts.
So I use the, remember that $10 I gave you last week?
Sure.
Does it work?
That's because you can't say that to him.
No, I think you're allowed to say that. You can say that.
You bet I am. The other thing, just a real quick comment, is I love that I am a grandmother, and I am watching my children with their children getting the eye rolls, saying the same things I said to them.
Sure.
And I just look at them and I go, payback is a bitch.
It is totally true. I was just telling that to Bill off the air. It's like, until I had kids, I didn't realize how much crap my mom put up with from me.
Yeah.
I really did. I thought I was really easy, but now that I see what's going on, it's all turning full circle. So,
yeah,
Grant,
that comment that you made about that when your son came home with a good test score, and you said, "Well, what about math?" Well, my daughter, because we all live together. She'll kind of do that with my grandson, and he gets such good grades, but he'll come home and go, "Huh, I aced that, got an A on that test." Instead of my daughter just going, "Good job, honey," she'll say, "Well, why couldn't you have done that on, you know, whatever your, you know?"
Yep.
And I
look at her and I go, "Stop while you're ahead." Stop while you're ahead.
Although, can I ask you, Grandma Titi, just because it's fun to say Grandma Titi, when your daughter came home and said, "Look, I aced this test," did you, as her mother, say, "Well, what about the other stuff?" Because you're looking at it as a grandma now. It's a little different and more lenient, don't you think?
You know what? And I have to honestly say, and if my other daughter was here, she'd say, you know, I'm not lying. I never did that with my kids, but my ex-husband, with my daughter, she grew up like that with him. And I'll tell you what, you know, as an adult, it wreaks havoc on her. It's, you know, I'm not saying all kids, you know, it's going to, you know, like, devastate them in Never Never Land.
But no, but every kid's different.
Every kid is different, and when you continually, and you mean it. The problem is when you mean it and you're not kind of like just joking around about it, and you beat on them with that really follows them. That follows them. And that's a shame, because as parents, our kids don't realize, as parents, we're very smart. We see when things are bothering them. We see when something just doesn't click. And I'm telling you, in her adult life, I know that that's one of the things that has really kind of done a little bit of damage to her personality.
Mm. Oh. Well, listen, we would like to call you Grandma Titi, and we would like you to call in every once in a while.
Yeah, more often.
Because we don't have grandmas anymore.
Titi Tuesdays. Let's start doing Titi Tuesdays.
You guys are so sweet. And, you know, I can't even tell you. I finally went and got myself a tabletop speaker. And now I can have you on WGN streaming, and at 6 o'clock in the morning I can drag my phone out to the kitchen and listen to you on a speaker instead of trying to figure out who the hell has a radio anymore.
You're a hip grandma, Grandma TT. We got to run.
Have a good
great
weekend.
You too.
All right,
bye.
Take care. That was Grandma TT. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then the news, and then more show. If you want to jump in, we'd love to hear from you. We're 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
I am hearing voices, and it's Kevin Richter's voice.
He's got a pleasant voice.
Yeah, but I don't
Why
want to
are you
hear
complaining?
It right now.
All right.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. We were talking about things you should never say to your kids from Good Housekeeping.
Yeah. We're guilty, would you say, about a half of them? Have you said about half of them so far to your kids at some point?
I only said two.
Well, then a quick math,
I've
one out
both.
Of two. Yeah, all right.
Yeah, I'm a bad mom. Yep. I try. I love them, but whatever. B is fine, but an A is better. My mom did that to me all the time.
So the scenario would be you bring home a report card, obviously, or a paper, and you're proud of yourself because you've gotten a B, which is very good.
And maybe you're struggling, and, right. a B is very good.
But she, in this case your mom, is pressuring you, if you could do a little better, you could probably do a lot better and get an A, right?
Yeah, but if a mom said this to me, and I may have answered this way, B is fine, but an A is better, that's when you go, duh.
Yeah, right.
I mean, we know
that.
You
know that already. You tried for an A.
You know, don't we think? You know, it is really different when you're a parent because it's like when somebody makes a mistake and it's just so funny. A mom goes, you know you screwed that up. Really? Do you
right.
think?
Right.
I mean, kids are not that stupid. Hi, Mary. How are you?
Good, thanks. And you guys, I'm sure, are good too.
Thank you.
Parenting is awful. Okay, no, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that.
It's hard, though. I'm sorry.
It's hard. It's hard. I have a son who wanted to be an architect. Yes, on his way to that now. But in his high school years, he would come home, make little houses, and the report card would come home, and the English, you know, social studies, whatever, A's and B's. And I'd look, and these other ones would be like your B's, C's. And I'm like, I said, you know, if you want to, these are great, but you need to pull these others if you want to be an architect. You've got to pull these maths up. So sure enough, you know, he comes back. I get the report card the next semester. And I'm like, you know, you say those things, they will slam you with them. So sure enough, math, science, A's and B's, the other three classes are now down to C's and D's.
Oh.
I'm like, oh, you cannot win. So don't even, it's going to hit you again. They will get back at you. So.
Can I tell you something, Mary? I found myself like yelling at the kids, do your homework, do your homework. My husband would do your homework. It didn't help. So as soon as we backed off, miraculously, they do their homework and their grades are better when we're not hounding them. They got to learn at some point, you know?
Well, I did have the other daughter who always had A's and B's. We'd go to those parent-teacher conferences. And in high school, eventually it got, you know, you're like, oh, great, she's so great. The teacher would tell you, oh, she's so great. And meanwhile, my daughter's saying, this teacher hates me, hates me. So finally, I just said, well, I'm not doing these anymore because she has A's and B's. Why am I wasting her time? And she keeps telling me the teacher hates her.
Hmm.
So I stopped going. And the minute I stopped going, I never heard how a teacher hated her ever again. Yeah, and I'm like, it's just like, it's a waste of time. If your kid is great, just accept it and move on, you know?
And if they're not so great, they may get there, right?
Yeah, and they'll probably slam you in some other way, shape,
sure.
if you tell them that.
They're resilient.
So, yeah, be careful what you say and you live for.
All right, well, good luck to you. Relax this weekend, right, okay, Mary?
Oh, thanks a lot.
I'm positive that child psychologists will tell me that I have done this wrong, but after watching both my daughters stress to get straight A's, and I mean stress, like put in long, incredible, impossible hours to do everything they could to get straight A's, I would say to them, I don't care if you get straight A's. Just get through this, learn as much as you can, work as hard as you can, do your best. And if you don't get straight A's, I'm fine with that. And I know that every child psychologist will go, no, don't do that. What are you doing? Then you're telling them it's okay to not be their best. No. Try
that's
your
pushing.
Best.
Yes, exactly. That's the difference.
Seriously.
Try your best.
Whatever their report card was, unless they were failing something miserably, I was always fine with it.
I have finally given up. Michael's a senior in high school, and I have finally said, whatever you get, though, these are your grades. He does well on tests. He did great on his ACT. To me, that proves he's learning something.
Right, sure.
He might learn differently.
Yeah.
I don't know. Everybody puts so much pressure on the straight A's.
Right.
I'm with you. And, you know, you told me these girls would be up till 2-3 in the morning doing homework. That's ridiculous.
Impossible hours.
That's not supposed to be like
that. I know. So, I've seen them try their, I know they're trying their best. Neither one of them are slouching. They're in there working on
it.
So.
Yeah,
I'm fine with straight A's. I'm at work. I'm not getting straight A's.
Sure you are,
Bill. No, I'm not.
I don't ever work and I got straight A's. It was pretty easy for me.
Yeah.
Robert, how are you?
Yes, fine. Thank you. It's a very interesting conversation. Others
evaluate. Oh, dude, your phone is breaking up a little bit. Robert, are you mobile right now or can you find a location where you're stable?
How is it now?
Pretty
now
good.
It's great.
Okay, sorry. I had to get turned away.
That's right.
Yeah, it's an interesting conversation. Those of us who are a little, you know, a few more years than others can sit back and look at articles from Good Housekeeping and look at, you know, maybe the things that we've said wrong along the way. But one of the things that concerns me that I've seen my two children, They're both in their early 40s, mid-40s, early 40s, have four grandchildren, and they are very cautious and not in agreement with some of the things that are being done today. For example, Little League Baseball, nobody keeps score, nobody wins, nobody loses. And I don't know that that's the best thing in the world for children to learn. I think they should be taught to celebrate success as well as recognize that you're not going to win every time.
I agree with you wholeheartedly.
And I was the
loudmouth mom that would yell out the scores just because it's like, what do you mean the game doesn't have a score? They got three goals.
Yeah.
You have two.
That's the score. Right.
Exactly. And I see both my children doing that for them. And I think that's really healthy because you know what I see today is I think you're seeing it right now is these kids in colleges, they have cry circles.
What is that? I don't know what that is.
Well, that was, I think it was at Cornell. It was a cry circle. There were only about 60 kids based upon the results of the election, all got together, built a parking lot, and they kind of cried together over the results. I mean, come on.
A lot of people were not happy with the results, but it seems you could cry in your own room.
Not in a geometric shape like they did.
Yeah, grab your little blankie and go back to your dorm room and cuddle up, you know. How are you teaching them about how to accept disappointments in life? They're going to be disappointed.
Yeah, but they can cry. There's nothing wrong with crying.
Yeah, but the teacher who said you don't have to do midterms if you don't want to because you were devastated by the result.
Oh, wow.
That's crazy.
Robert,
happened at Harvard.
If your kids aren't learning about competition through, like you mentioned, sports, Little League, I went through this with one of my daughters. They would have a softball game and not keep the score, and nobody went home the winner and nobody went home the loser.
Stupid.
But then in real life, you're competing constantly for jobs, for everything. How are you going to...
Don't work that way.
You won't know how to react if you don't learn as a kid.
Yeah, and look at how these people, these college kids are now with the results of the election. They're looting. They're destroying property.
I don't understand that. I really don't.
Yeah, I understand they have a right to protest, and they can say that. That's great. Next time, get yourself more involved. Make sure that you vote. Get more people to vote on your side. So get involved in your party so you can make a working difference.
All right.
But you don't do these kinds of things because you can't accept the fact that you didn't get what you want.
True.
Yeah.
Thank you for calling. We have to take a quick break, and then, Bill, will you do a cry circle with
me?
Yeah,
I would like to do a cry circle.
Can we form a circle with just the two of us?
Well, it'll be a small circle, but we'll get that done. All right, so that's coming up, the big cry circle, and then more show. Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Bill, will you quit distracting Kevin? He's got work to do. We're in a new studio today. Things are very confusing. I'm hearing voices.
Well,
again.
It's like The Exorcist in here. Thanks, Campbell's, for sending the pea soup up. That was nice of them.
50 things you should never, ever say to your kids. I think we got through three of them. What was the one that your mom said to you?
I do, and I do, and I do for you kids, and this is the thanks I get. She'd say that a couple times a day.
Because 219 says, this broadcast is okay, but it could be so much better. I listen, and I listen, and I listen, and this is how you repay me?
That's my mom from heaven, we hope.
It's hard being a parent. It really is, because you want your kid to be able to grow up and take care of themselves someday.
Yep.
I do everything for them. Steve, what do you want to jump in with?
Well, if I ever rolled my eyes at my father or my mother, they'd roll them back with the back of their hand. And in all honesty, Wendy, I think you might relate to this, is that wait till your father gets home.
That was a big thing to say back then. Are people still saying that, or are moms taking the initiative to do the punishing themselves?
Well, mom would sit there and take a high heel, and she could throw that pretty good.
My mom had the wooden spoon. I don't know if that's an Italian thing, but we got the wooden spoon, and it hurt.
With tomato sauce or without tomato sauce?
Without
tomato sauce.
Without.
If she was cooking, we were spared.
We also had the wooden spoon or the spatula with the holes in it to break the wind.
Good. That makes it easier.
But the wait till your dad got home never affected me because my dad died when I was 10.
Oh.
And quite honestly.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. But in our house, too, if I say wait till your dad gets home, the kids would be like, awesome. Can we go see a Star Wars
right.
movie then? So it wouldn't work in our house either. But that is how it used to be, Steve. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it.
You bet.
Have a great weekend.
See, my dad got home at 10 o'clock. He worked until 9. It took him an hour to get home. So if we did something bad at 9:30 in the morning or 10:30 in the morning and heard that, wait till your father gets home, you got 12 hours
to sweat
sit
it
around.
Out.
Oh, this is not going to be good.
Did you eat when he came home then at 10 o'clock?
Our second dinner was at 10 when he came.
You're like Taco Bell before Taco Bell is the fourth dinner or whatever.
You open late for your convenience. We would have, I told you, we would have our first dinner at 7 with my mom and my brother
late.
And I. That, well, yeah, I guess. And then
if you're having another one at 10.
Dinner with my dad at 10 a second time.
Was it two different things?
Yeah. And we thought.
Your mom did and did
and
did.
And look at the thanks she got.
She got no
thanks at all. Usually the first dinner was food that was picked up. Like we would go, you know, we'd pick up food from a local restaurant.
Food.
Yeah. And then she would cook. She got off of work around 8:30 or 9 some nights. And then she would work, you know, cook. And then my dad would get home at 10 and we'd sit down again and have the second dinner.
She really did a lot for you guys.
She mentioned that. She told us she would mention that a lot. And you know, when you're a kid, you just go, but look at your job description. What does it say when we hired you to be our mom? What did the job description say? You know, we just assumed whatever she did. Yeah, of course.
Is this Monica?
No, Monica Harold.
Oh, hi, Monica Harold.
I say that because one time in the past you got like taxi cab Jim or something like that. You go, everybody get a moniker, so I think that's just something.
You deserve a moniker.
Moniker Harold.
All right,
sorry.
Hey, listen, by the way,
you're no Grandma Titi, that's all I gotta tell you.
Thank God for that.
All right, go ahead, Monica Harold.
Yeah, the cry circle, by the way, was a Democratic thing. If the jerks had won it, it would have been totally different. But anyways.
How's that feel when no one laughs at you? I'm sorry, Monica Harold. Stop the hating, everybody.
This shouldn't be. We're talking about this, so we're not political. That's what we're going for.
Okay, so here's the deal.
Yes.
A couple of them. One was. If you were going to get hit with the wooden spoon, we actually had a thick, half-inch thick, like 8-inch wide paddle, and it's hung there on a cabinet. We had a wooden cabinet, and wooden cabinets. It hung there, and you know, you knew it was there in case you did something wrong. And didn't happen often, but when you did do something far enough, you know, your mom or your dad would pull it out. They'd make you stand there, and this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you.
Yeah, I've heard that too, and it's not true.
No, it's not true.
wasn't the worst thing you could say is, I don't think so.
Yeah, right.
And the other one was, I brought you in this world, and I could take you out.
That's from Cliff Huxtable, I believe, back when Bill Cosby was an ally. Remember those days?
Yes.
When you could quote him and not feel guilty about it?
All right, we appreciate you calling, Monica Harold. We're not doing nicknames for the rest of the year, are we?
Not unless we get a sports show. Then you have to. Southside Pete, go ahead. Fat Timmy, what do you got for me? Everybody gets, you've heard that, right?
Yeah, I know.
If you got a sports
show,
everybody has to have a nickname.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. I've never had a nickname in my life.
No,
and
you
I really
need.
Am upset about it because I really always wanted a nickname.
You don't need a
Wendella,
nickname.
That's really
all
my
you
family
need.
Calls
that's
me.
Fine. That's
fine. That's
all you need.
Stupid.
Well,
I want a good nickname. So if I can't have one, what's your nickname?
I don't have a nickname either.
See, so no one else can have a nickname.
Except
Grandma Titi.
She deserves a nickname. Right. All right, let's do this. We'll take a break, and then Roe and Anna will be by. We'll find out what they have coming up next. It's Bill and Wendy WGN.